Views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Randy, off the internet.
No! No, come on! Leave me alone! But Sharon, I got stuff to do! I gotta see my credit rating, and I gotta send an email to Nelson and check out Foley's vacation photos!
You don't have to do all that now. You can do one more thing, and then it's bedtime.
One more thing?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Whoever this person is, he has played World of Warcraft nearly every hour of every day for the past year and a half. Gentlemen, we are dealing with someone here who has absolutely no life.
Paul Perillo.
Mom, tell them. Tell them I'm not fat, I'm just big bone. Tell them all the stories about how everyone in your family was big as a child and then groomed their bodies.
Oh, sweetie, those were all lies. You're just fat.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm a pretty bad kid.
Really? What's the worst thing you've ever done?
I stole the head off a statue once.
Andy Hart.
Wow, that's pretty hardcore. That's like this one time when I didn't like a kid, so I ground his parents up into chili and fed it to him.
Eric Scalavino.
I'm not going to be confused anymore just because you say I should be. My name is Butch. I'm 8 years old, I'm blood type O, and I'm bi-curious.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
What?
Been on your computer all weekend. Shouldn't you go out and socialize with your friends?
I am socializing, Arthard. I'm logged on to an MMORPG with people from all over the world and getting XP with my party using TeamSpeak.
I'm not an Arthard.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. As each day goes by, we get closer and closer to Jets at Patriots, 4:15 Sunday. I am psyched up. S-U-C-K. So, guys, what do we got going on? Huh? You look a little down, both of you.
No.
I'm tired today.
Why are you tired?
Because the damn kids woke up at 4:45.
What happened? Alarm went off? Thunder? Lightning?
No, they just both woke up for some reason.
You don't have a padlock on their door? They can't...
No, I think Child Services frowns upon that.
Really? Paul, why are you down?
Luckily, you just had your, how do you put it? You got married and added water and had a family.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you would have been good at ages, I don't know, 1 through 8.
Yeah, some people just not cut out for that sort of thing.
Well, at ages 3.
You weren't ready for infants.
3?
Yeah. 3 or 4, yeah.
No.
Sure.
Wow, younger than I thought. We had a good day in the locker room. A couple of guys were in there talking, guys that we needed. Nothing earth-shattering. Talked to Gronk a little bit about blocking. Andy talked to Tracy White and Matthew Slater about sort of early observations based on the new kickoff rules.
All the time we all wasted talking about the new kickoff rules.
And Aaron Hernandez had a group around him, and he answered every question with the following. Ah!
That's kind of odd.
Ah!
What?
That's what he did.
Wait a minute.
That's exactly what he did.
Aaron, not only that, he told the PR department.
Ah!
Yes.
That's what he did?
Yes.
And he told the PR department beforehand.
I told you I
was
going
to
do it.
He's just having some fun. Mm-hmm. He can't say anything, so.
It was very lighthearted. He said, I think he had two lines. I think one, something along the lines of, I'm feeling good, I'm getting better.
Day to day.
And I'm day to day. That's basically all he said.
He wasn't an a-hole. I mean, it was very
lighthearted. Smile on his face, joking with the writers, understood where the writers were coming from and why they wanted to talk to him. But,
but
he just kept saying, ah!
But he had a knee brace on today.
Yes. Left knee, black left knee brace.
Is that the first time we've seen that?
It's the first time I've personally seen it. I don't know if it's the first time anyone's seen it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Could that be an indication that he'll be out in practice? Because why would he be wearing that brace?
One would think he put the knee brace on to do some physical activity. Now, that activity could be with trainers in the bubble
but you don't put it on
to just watch.
Right.
Now, I do think there's an element, and Andy alluded to this yesterday, that he's kind of playing around a little bit with the writers. He knows that we're all watching, and, he's doing one thing one day, another thing next.
If I was a player, I'd get one of those fake casts, and I'd put it on.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes, I would.
Because Bill doesn't allow that either.
Why not?
He doesn't want you going the other direction. Because you're making a story of it.
Because, to paraphrase you, Fred, Bill doesn't suffer fools.
I would just have all kinds of fun with
it. No, you wouldn't.
Yes, I would.
Because Bill doesn't allow that.
He would for me.
Who else talked? Gary Guyton.
5 foot
today?
Four fat shoulder guys are not easy
Bill,
to come
Bill
by.
Says that it takes all kinds of characters, and I'd be one.
And how have you seen that play out? The character that he squashed, Chad Ochocinco?
I don't think he
Oh, so you think – no. So you're saying it. It's out
what?
There now.
What?
Bill! This is not a bet that he lost. Bill has squashed the character.
Well, I don't know that. I think he has squashed it. I buy into Hugh Jackson's thing.
I think
you have to let Chad be Chad.
I think his performance has squashed Chad's personality.
What came first?
The performance went down.
I'm not sure about that.
I think he came in and he was his gregarious self.
He was having group hugs with the media.
Yeah.
Yeah, and said, you won't talk to me anymore. And said, I
and
can't
then
do
he
that.
Did.
And then 3 days later, he talked again.
Right.
I think he's been squashed.
The only thing he hasn't, well, up to now, when he stopped tweeting, the only thing he didn't do that he used to always do is talk about the opponent. And he stopped doing that.
You know, hesitant.
Get your pop. Well, that was T.O., right? The popcoran ready?
Popcorn. That was T.O. No. That was T.O.
But no, but he would talk.
He, by the way,
list,
says he's
Pepto,
he's getting ready
everything.
To come back. He wants to know if there's any takers. Did you see that?
Yeah.
T.O.
He's ready now.
Thanks for letting us know.
No thanks.
It's like when the guy that stops playing football and a year and a half later he announces his retirement.
Right.
Really?
Although, make your case Friday.
For God's sakes.
With how slow Ochocinco has
one.
Been, should the Patriots bring in Terrell Owens?
Right. It's like that, you know, oh, they canceled one of those TV shows that was on for like 2 nights and you never watched anyway.
Playboy Club.
You hear like.
That just happened. Did you see that?
No.
The Playboy Club got canceled already.
Already?
I think it was on twice.
It's like, oh, I didn't know, you know.
A mid-season, what do they call it? Mid-season fill-ins or mid-season something in TV? Replacement.
Yeah,
mid-season
But we
replacement.
Haven't even gotten to mid, I mean,
right.
They're going to have to do something else before they get to mid-season.
Now, will the rest of the conclusion of that series be aired on the internet? Sometimes
Probably.
They do that, too.
Can we get PFW on national? You think?
I think we should worry about getting good ratings locally
Uh-oh.
Before we go national.
Ratings are falling?
Debbie Downer again.
Dropping faster than your pants
it's,
when you walk in the
gonna
door.
It's going to get even worse because From the Heart's going to be just the heart.
Well, you know what that's all set up for.
What does that mean?
You know
ratings take
happen.
Off after we do that.
I think it's clear. The audience has spoken.
Hard to argue with the numbers.
Right. Won't have anything to do with beating the Jets.
Or losing to the Jets.
I'm convinced now
I'm
that
sorry.
The Patriots...
I'm sorry. Are you talking?
No, I think either way this could be a good week.
Well...
Because it's related to the Jets.
It will be.
A big win, a big loss.
In terms of
whatever.
Ratings, a win or a loss of the Jets should be more ratings
right.
for us.
Well, I don't think so. I think that...
I don't think so.
I don't think this is going to happen, but if the Patriots lose this game, I think people are going to be like, you know what? Why bother?
Oh, I think that's going to be a storyline the rest of the year. I brought that up yesterday about the pressure. You know, and yeah, I think that all the external factors are... The Jets have to win the game. They have to win the game. But if the Patriots don't, they're setting themselves up for the rest of the season, people saying, you won? Bleep you. Who cares what happens until the playoffs? You can't beat this team in the playoffs. We don't, you know, what's going to happen?
Right.
You know, what happens until the playoffs?
I just think that the hand-wringing, if the Patriots lose, and my God, here we are starting this show up in such a negative. First of all, let me say that there's no way the Patriots are going to lose this game. But if they do, people will be saying, you had the Jets where you want them. You had them at home.
That's
turmoil.
My point.
They're not playing well. The defense can't stop the run.
They're a 10-point favorite.
You know, and you, they still have your number. I don't think that's going to happen, but that's what people will be saying.
Chad Henne's out for the year. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Is he really?
Yeah, surgery.
Wow.
I agree with you. They'll be saying that, but I think for our purposes, this radio show, I think it drums up discussion interest. I don't think people will dive off the ship. I think they'll be bitching about the ship sinking. I think that's the difference. I think they will bitch about it.
For a week, and then
I think that sometimes, listen, it's not the same. It's not a perfect comparison, but the Red Sox were largely irrelevant for 5 months. They were very relevant in the last month of the season.
Right.
Because the ship sunk.
Well, that's true.
They became more intriguing when things went bad.
That's true.
You know, it doesn't make it right. I'm just saying there was more attention paid to the Red Sox over the last month. Look, right now, this is Patriots-Jets week, and the Red Sox are still dominating.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, because it's a mess.
Yeah, it is a mess.
It's a mess. It's a circus over there.
Yeah.
They're dominating for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
And I think that there might be an element of that if you lose to the Jets.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, and we're down here in the
gotta watch this
Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios.
Did you see the Football Life with Reggie Reggie White.
No, I heard it was phenomenal.
Jerome Brown. I've heard so many good things about it. I haven't seen it.
You think there's an Andy Hart in Philadelphia saying, eh, overrated.
Well, yeah.
Wasn't that good.
Probably.
Because everybody loved the Bill Belichick one, too, except me.
Sure. But you'll love this one because it's not about the Patriots.
Well, one of the things that I heard is the footage, the actual game footage, makes you realize how wussified the league is now and that they would never allow them
Mike,
to do that stuff.
Mike Flynn right? talking about that last week. Did you hear that coming in when they were talking about it when
we were
driving to the game?
And I'll like that stuff because that's my kind of football. It's a physical game.
He was talking about some of the things that they did to quarterbacks were just, like, obscene.
Right.
And you couldn't do half of the stuff that they did last, you know. And that was not that long ago. Early 90s. Early 90s.
I mean, the Patriots, 96? Reggie White?
Well, no, this is Philadelphia. This is from, Jerome Brown and Reggie White.
Okay.
You know, with, you know, Buddy Ryan and the bounties and all that stuff.
That's
what this is about.
So that's what, mid-80s?
Yeah, it's late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, okay. Because Jerome
I think
Brown,
Jerome Brown died.
No, he died in the mid-80s, early.
No, it wasn't mid-80s.
Early 90s.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Early 90s. Right. Yeah. Right. That's right. It was like 91, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah, right.
And it was, I guess the story is about how freakishly gifted the two players are and how similar they were as players, but how totally different they were off the field. You know, Jerome Brown is a typical Miami guy, you know, the U. Wild, crazy, and you know, obviously you know about Reggie White, off-field, spiritual minister and all that. So that's I guess that's how they paint the picture.
I'd be remiss if I didn't pass my condolences out. Steve Jobs passed away last night. I think that especially for people who listen to this show, certainly he affected all of us.
I thought this was from your meeting at Apple.
Well,
sort of pushed him over the edge.
But I think Twitter exploded last night, and
I saw you retweeting Howard Stern.
Yeah,
it's true though. Everybody, a lot of players, Devin McCourty.
I think anyone that uses an Apple product has to admire this guy because they were just different than everything else that came out and better.
Well, I think he's clearly such a visionary that you don't even you can't even think on that level.
And he pushed people to just think. You know, keep thinking, keep making it better.
I was talking to Andy about this morning. They broke in last night. It was maybe a little after 7:30. CBS News. I think I was watching Jeopardy or something like that. They just broke. They broke in. They had a short little video obit that they ran, and they had a clip in 1981 of him appearing on CBS News. And he was I don't know if it was like 60 Minutes or something like that. And he was like showing a computer, and he was saying how it won't happen all at once. It won't be immediate. But eventually, this will dominate life, and everybody's life will revolve around a computer, and everybody will have to have one, and that's how business will be done. 1981.
Sure.
You know, I would love to see that whole thing. I'm sure it's out there on YouTube or something like that, but I'd be that kind of, you know, and I'm sure that he had a lot of things that he felt that way about that didn't hit.
Right.
You know, because that's the way those guys think.
They throw
it out there, and some of them work and some of them don't.
They came out with the Newton, which was like a tablet, and it just bombed. And that was, you know, mid to late 80s.
Well, Andy and I were also asking about the whole, and I'm assuming that we're coming to you for the answers to these because you're a tech expert here. But, you know, how we left, you know, Apple got rid of them. Right?
Right.
Early on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they tanked, and they went crawling on their knees back to him, and he went back and obviously took off from there. What was the whole
–
Do you know the details around that?
I think at one time I did, but I forgot. Yeah.
And just how many things did he invent? Because there was a lot of sarcasm today on the radio, and Andy and I didn't know – what was sarcastic and what was
real?
I'm
not sure he invented anything, really, but I think what he did is he took what was out there, which is computing and the chip, and forced people, his people, to create designs that were just better. You know, the MP4, the MP2 or 3 player was out there before the iPod. That existed, but it was just, you know, it wasn't fun. You know, it didn't work as well. And he said, look, let's take this device and make it better. You know, and they came up with the click wheel and the one button, you know, rather than all these little buttons. And that iPod just changed everything. It changed everything. You know, you could store music on a device before that, but they made it better. you know, the IBM computer obviously was before the Mac, you know, the little Apple that came out and the Macintosh, but they made it better, you know, and that's, you know, he just pushed his designers to just, you know, keep making the form and function just more streamlined and that was his vision.
Well, I'll tell you about changing the way people think of the world. The perfect example for me is my son, who's been playing with my iPhone and my iPad, and now every computer or screen he goes to,
he thinks
you can touch it and make stuff happen, and, you know, none of the other ones you can do that. Like, he goes to my laptop and wants to do
stuff.
But
it makes sense.
Right.
It makes sense.
But that's my point. It's so
intuitive,
and now he just thinks, well, everything should be that way. And yes, it probably should, but it isn't, unfortunately,
right.
And it will be someday, maybe.
It will be someday. And, you know, I did meet with a guy from Apple Saturday night, and, you know, I said to him, you know, how are people adjusting? Because, you know, the end was near. There was no doubt. And he said that, you know, the way we feel is that we were taught by the master how to think, and we're going to continue doing that. And there's almost like a competition within us to keep it going because people are worried, you know, people.
But it's going to be tough.
It is going to be tough.
They've been so successful.
Right. But they feel that they've adopted his way of thinking.
But it's tough.
I mean,
I think Josh McDaniels adopted Bill Belichick's way of thinking.
Sure.
And fell flat on his face.
Well, that's, you know, we'll see.
I think it's hard to
do. You know, watch the stock prices, see what people think.
There's
about
a reason
that.
Great people are great.
Yes.
Because you can't mimic it.
Even if
you try to do everything the way they do it, they're great for a reason. It just comes naturally to them.
Yeah. So,
see how I tied that into the Patriots?
Right.
Daniels.
But, you know, I you got to admire it. So, you know, when I heard it last night, I was like, oh. You know, that's too bad. One of the great American job creators, if you want to call him, you know, that he's down there with Ford and Edison and those type of people that just created industry.
And not as rich as I thought, though. $8 billion? I thought he'd have more.
I think you have no idea how much a billion is.
No,
right?
I know, but is Bill Gates nine times the guy he is? Or
no, he's
times?
Only like $30 billion.
I thought he was like $45 billion.
Oh, maybe. You know, okay.
I don't know.
So, R.I.P. Steve Jobs. All right, 508-298-0398. Other than Aaron Hernandez today, who spoke? Anyone?
I told you, I talked to Gronk, and Gary Guyton spoke, and
Matthew Slater.
Slater, Tracy White.
Did Guyton say if
Vince spoke at the podium, but I don't think any of us heard it. Eric was doing something with Sean Ellis.
Getting to know.
His dog
died
2 days
ago.
Yeah.
Nice job, like, Eric. Dredge up memories.
It's the PFW curse. It's like we can't help ourselves. You know, you think it's like a lighthearted question about pets. Yeah, well, yeah, they just died.
Oh, two Rottweilers got hit by a car 2 days ago.
Oh.
And not even here. They were at his mom's house, South Carolina or something.
Did Guyton mention whether or not he'd have the green dot and be the guy communicating and...
Were you in on that?
Because I was Tracy White.
Yeah, I was in on the Hernandez stuff and the Gronk stuff. I didn't hear Guyton talk. I know he had a gaggle of reporters around him, so maybe we can look on Twitter and see if he mentioned anything about that.
Okay.
I doubt it.
I'm sure.
My guess is that he did not indicate whether he would have the green dot.
Right, and Bill did not speak today.
Did not.
So
speak tomorrow.
So it's just open locker room.
Interesting. Next interesting piece of news will be the injury report, where we can see if Hernandez, who looked like there might be signs he could be going to practice, or Haynesworth, who I didn't see today.
Looked like they were fixing to put pads on, too, no?
Oh, yeah, full pads today.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard that was on the Twitter.
They're going to be banging.
So no sight of 92?
I didn't see him today.
I didn't see him. Everybody said they saw him yesterday. I saw him yesterday.
He came in the door and then went right in the bathroom.
Yeah, I missed him yesterday. I didn't see him. But I didn't see him at all today either.
Nope.
Okay. Edelman.
A little bit quieter today.
Woodhead, no sight of them.
Woodhead, perfectly, no limp, no nothing, walked through the locker room.
Early, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Looks fine.
Okay.
Just eyeball test, looks fine.
All right.
I can't guarantee anything beyond that.
Okay, and transactions, anything today?
No, nothing? No transactions, we're good, no trannies.
All right, so I guess we're up to date, right?
Yeah, not a lot of news coming out of this.
Well, yesterday was such a huge day in that locker room, it was really out of the ordinary. There was a lot of guys that spoke yesterday, so you kind of figured it'd be a little bit quieter today.
A little bit of news coming out of New York, and maybe one of our listeners can enlighten me, but is there some kind of rift going on between Mark Sanchez and Santonio Holmes?
A little bit. I haven't read all the details.
Yeah. What is that all about?
Holmes said something after the game that we need to protect Sanchez better. And he got criticized for that, for saying, well, he's tossing his offensive line under the bus. Then some of the New York guys were saying, well, I was standing right with Holmes when he said it, and he didn't mean it anywhere more than just factual. We need to protect our quarterback.
It's also
better.
Running backs and tight ends. It's then, not just the
then,
run.
Then all of a sudden, they started saying that there's some rift between Holmes and Sanchez. I don't know what it is. It ain't good in New York. Let's put it that way. How did I put it? Circling the drain. They need to win. They need to snap out of this because they're in trouble.
And Holmes had, also a snide remark about the Patriots defense that, the numbers
show exactly how they're not playing on defense or something like that.
Yeah. So, all right. Well.
And Rex Ryan made the joke about the two Hall of Fame coaches because he's going into the Oklahoma State.
That was funny. Southwest Oklahoma State.
Southwest Oklahoma State. And Bill, he went to Wesleyan. He's in that Hall of Fame. And two Hall of Fame coaches going at that.
That was pretty funny.
Okay. I know one of the things that Bill is thinking about this week is the short yardage defense of the Jets. He says it's one of the best in the league, and that's one of the focuses. That
short yardage defense, yeah. So like third and one?
Third and short or goal line. Any time it's a short situation, they seem to do really well, the Jets.
Okay.
So he's looking at that.
To avoid and those. Guess, and he I wants guess, third and long rather than third and short.
And I guess that's despite, their run defense woes, they have been pretty good in short yardage.
Paul, can you explain something to me, the opposite of that, long yardage? I don't know if this should be intuitive or not. Patriots obviously have the best offense in terms of yards, worst defense in terms of yard, by far. 50 more yards per game than anybody. They give up 60 more yards per game than anybody. But they're also best and worst on first down plays. They average like 7.8 yards per offensive first down play, which is the best.
That's unbelievable.
And they give up, more unbelievable, 8.83 per first down play.
That's unbelievable.
On defense. But do those always coincide? Like, if I looked back, would the team that's the best offense generally have the best first down number and the worst defense generally have the worst first down number?
I don't know if there's a correlation to that, but...
Because basically that tells you all their problems are on first down.
Yeah. I remember last year...
But that's interesting because we have...
Or it could be swayed by plays. Like, they had a 99-yard play on first down. Right? So that sways that adds it to every other first down.
That is true. Yeah.
I don't know how much is being swayed by all their big plays.
It's a little early in the season.
Was the 41-yard run on first down?
I saw Jeff Howe tweeted out that if you take away the 99-yard play by Welker, his yards per catch go down 2.1 yards. So, this early in the season, big plays like that can skew the numbers.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I also am not a big fan of taking plays away. Unless it's like the only play. Like if Wes Welker had.
And it's on 40. I mean, I got to think the Patriots, through four games, have a larger number than 40 plays.
But here's the thing. What is he has? 40 catches for 616? Something like that?
Yeah.
If he had, say he had 40 catches for 390 yards, he's averaging less than 10 yards a carry, and he had a 99 yard, then to me you could say, geez, he's averaging 10 yards a catch, and if you take away the 99, it actually drops down to 7 a catch.
But couldn't I
that
also...
To me, you take away that 99, and he's still like 4 yards greater than his average.
Right.
But also, couldn't you say he has... I don't even know what he has. Maybe he has 4 or 5 catches for 3 yards? Should I take those away and then say he's really averaging 18 yards?
That's why I'm not a big fan of taking away the big
Isn't
plays.
That what averages do?
Because we never say, take away the 3 good plays.
Right.
And do that.
Whenever we have this discussion, I always think of Barry Sanders, because Barry Sanders had more tackles behind the line of scrimmage than most receivers with over X amount of carries. Yet he'd have those big ones that would bring that average up.
Right.
Yeah,
evidently Jeff Howe taking a lot of heat for pointing out that fact, by the way.
Oh, really?
He was thinking, this is a good number right here.
I understand why I'm taking heat for the Welker stat. It wasn't to knock him, believe me. Just wanted to put the yards per catch in perspective. See, to me, it's more impressive. And Andy wrote a number story last week. If you do take out that, he's still well ahead of his career pace for yards and for yards per catch.
But you're right, Paul. You can't do that because that's part of what the guy did.
Right.
I
mean, there are times where it makes sense. I mean, there are times like you could
the first
sit there.
Game
and
say, of the season, it's ridiculous to look at.
If the Patriots defense were allowing, say, 200 yards a game, the first three games, 200, 200, 200, and this game against Oakland, they allowed 300. And it was the same thing. 99 came on that last drive. Then I would sit there and say, well, you know what? That was a meaningless drive when they were down 19 point, 18 point, whatever it was. In the last minute of the game, they threw a bomb, they beat them, and they scored a touchdown. They got 100. Absolutely meaningless yards. But it's no, it's 450, it's 500, it's 400, and, four, and 500. That, so I don't, I'm not willing to take away any bad plays because they're not out of the norm.
Right.
You know, the really bad plays aren't really extraordinary. The 41-yard run by McFadden, that might be the longest they've allowed this year, but they've allowed a lot of long runs this year.
But it does point to why you really do need to know the team and what they've done, because statistics can be deceiving. You can take statistics to back up pretty much any
anything
argument.
You want.
Yep.
Well, that's why I was asking the question, because I know, I mean, bend but don't break defenses give up yards and all this stuff. How bad right now is 8.8 yards per first down play compared to?
Yeah,
I don't know it well enough.
To me, it's remarkable because you always talk about trying to get into third and, you know, long, third
right.
and six, third and seven. And when you have second and short, it just opens up the whole playbook for a team, and
but,
it's very hard to defend.
But I also, like I said, if all their big plays allowed have come on first down, that's swaying the number. Because now you're at first down again, and maybe that next first down you have a 3 yard stop.
Yeah.
I don't know the number well enough.
Thing I was thinking about is, you know, and probably Mike Reese has this number, but how many times have the Patriots come out in a sub package on defense on first down? I think the majority of the time.
The first 3 weeks, all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
last week, never.
And, you know, how because of depth or whatever, how less effective are they when they're in the sub-package?
Well, I don't give them that out because they've decided that's their best defense.
But do they feel that they're forced to do that, that they have no other choice but to come out in sub-package? And why is that? Because of today's game? Because
three receiver sets and all that. But
so is this whole base package out the window? I mean,
no.
No?
No.
I mean,
it's still 30% or 35% or whatever.
But if 70% is sub, isn't that your base now?
No.
No,
70 plays
not.
Come on second and third down. 30% come on first down.
No, I understand that. But if your first and second and third downs are all basically sub.
Well, they're not, because then it would be 100%.
Right.
Well, but if 70% of the plays are played in sub.
Right.
Including, you know, now the majority of first down.
But that varies. But that varies.
Base is isn't diminished.
Sub defense has become more important. Bill's talked about it for 5 years.
But that varies by opponent.
You're drafting a starter. Blah blah blah.
But it seems for the Patriots, no matter what
the
opponent is.
Oh no! Last week in Oakland, they didn't play their sub packages. They played base.
I thought they opened up in sub.
Not against Oakland.
Yeah.
No.
But you don't think most teams play sub against the Patriots?
Oh, absolutely.
It's based on personnel. But it's based on personnel.
That's kind of my point is now sub is kind of like
the norm. But
whereas that base.
If the Patriots opened up with two tight ends and two running backs, the other team wouldn't be in sub.
That's true.
They'd be in base.
But it seems
it's based on personnel.
But teams don't do that anymore.
Oakland did, and that's why they played in base.
And they're maybe one of the few. I think most teams now. They'll pass out of first down just as much as run.
Okay.
And I think defenses now are adjusting to that by playing out of their base less and less and less, particularly on first down.
Yeah, I think you're going with run and pass. It's about personnel.
Yeah.
Like the Buffalo Bills don't spend any time out of the spread. They're in the spread the whole game.
Oh, okay.
So the Patriots have to match that. Okay. You can't play base.
Okay, so let me put it another way. If I spread the Patriots defense out, forcing them to go into their sub package because of the personnel.
And that's what the Patriots do to other teams.
But then I run out of that. How much of a disadvantage are the Patriots? Are they, you know, can they make up for that?
It can hurt you.
Yeah.
Now the Jets were able to stop the run out of that formation last year in the playoffs. In the regular season game, the Monday night game, they didn't.
And that's why you see versatile players. Sean Ellis. Right? I mean, he's a guy that can play defensive tackle. He can play defensive end. He can be a sub rusher. You know, Mike Wright, ideally. Even Vince Wilfork. Kyle Love, a little less so.
And
but
if there's one thing that I'll say as a positive to McCourty's season so far, it has been run support.
he's an excellent, excellent tackler. He's a very physical cornerback.
You know.
He is. That's not a lie. I'm not.
No.
I'm not trying to, like, point out the 17 foul
that's
balls.
That's like saying. I don't know. There's one good thing about my quarterback is
no, but that's
he's a good blocker.
Right.
That's important. You know, the fact that
not as important,
you know,
as the 112 yards he gives up a game.
It's important that
by the way,
the
you want did you see the stats on that yesterday? The Pro Football Focus stats.
Yeah.
And I'm not a huge Pro Football Focus guy. you know, and I'll admit.
But it works with our argument.
No.
Revis is really good.
McCourty's
really bad.
No, because someone tweeted something yesterday about that they said that Brady is number one in all of these ratings. And I go, that's nice since he was 31st last year. Because I am not forgetting that. To
right.
me, there's a lot of irrelevance with Pro Football Focus. But
no,
according
no, no,
to
but
their numbers.
But that's different because last year they made the jump from their numbers to then rank MVPs.
But
it wasn't their strict numbers they went with.
Oh, but their strict numbers didn't have him being the best quarterback in football.
No, I know, but that's different
they
than
deemed,
just...
Remember, they deemed the throws that any quarterback could make.
But that's different than just breaking down plays and saying, this guy gave up this many yards. You know what I mean? There's
yeah.
not a lot of room for evaluation there, interpretation.
But they
it's
claim that McCourty has been the most targeted cornerback, giving up the most completions for the most yards of any cornerback in football.
Because they smell blood.
28 catches for 398 yards.
Well, it might be true, but I always question what
I do too.
PFF.
I do too, right. But I will say
that if he said he's been thrown to once for one yard, you'd say, I told you he was great.
Just so you know, Revis has allowed fewer yards than McCourty has allowed catches.
They've just been warped too much so far. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. We're going to get to Jeff in Texas right after this break.
Honey, ready to go curtain shopping?
Absolutely. There's nothing more I'd rather be doing on Patriots game day than helping make home drapery decisions.
Now with NFL Mobile on your phone, you can enjoy going just about anywhere this football season. Watch live games on Thursday and Sunday nights all right from the palm of your hand.
So what do you think of these lilac-colored valances?
Pat's interception, yes! Sure, those will hang nicely next to the wall. It'll just light up the room.
We should shop more often.
Oh, you bet, anytime. He's at the 50, the 40!
NFL Mobile, only from Verizon. Your gateway to live NFL games and more.
The 30, the 20, the 10! Booyah! Touchdown, Patriots!
Shh, you're frightening the seamstress.
Oh, that tie back is so money.
Text NFL to 8915 to download NFL Mobile today. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
If you didn't know, AutoTrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten you. First stop, his heart. Oh, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at AutoTrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Love
this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Visitor Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. We're getting ready for the Jets, 4:15 on Sunday. Let's hit the phones, 508-298-0398. Jeff is in Texas. Hey, Jeff.
Fred, since he called me Jeff, can I call you Frank now? Because that's, to me, the better name anyway. It's Jim, not Jeff.
He's got Jeff on the board. I apologize, but, what's going on, Jim?
It's been too long. I know. I've been trapped and chained to a desk, and it stinks. But, moving on, moving forward, hoorah. As always, you are the wellspring of all hope and love in this nation, Fred. And you know what? I listen to the podcast when I get off work, and you were down, you were down after the Buffalo game. It hurt my heart to no end. Well, but know this, though, that the Jets right now, they may not be playing well on offense, but don't kid yourself. Their defense is still very good.
Oh, absolutely.
Tough as heck against the run. Even the games they've lost, their defense has not been their problem. It's been special teams turnovers and the ineptitude of Sanchez to make good decisions. And that's what I would like to say. Before that 9.5-point spread thing went out, I was like, the Jets aren't that bad. If their offense, like ours, doesn't throw a pick to the other team and gives up six, our offense has given up 14 points this year. I think the Jets have done even more than that, or they've given their defense a really short field to defend. But their defense isn't the problem, as far as I'm concerned. At least that's the way I've seen some of these games.
Well, you brought up the spread, and I think 9.5 is a little high. But if you were to set it yourself, forget about when the money comes in, because I know that changes it. But when you were to set it, what would you set it at, Jim?
Six.
Six.
I was thinking
five or six.
That's what I was saying. Six.
Yeah.
That would be four.
Right in that range. Like, you want to go 6.5? You want to go six? I mean, a score, but 9.5. Honestly. Like I said, and Brady's having a really nice year, but he's not going to have, four interceptions and 34 touchdowns or 36 last year.
Right.
I'm just saying this, though. The
Looks
Jets
like he's going to have more than 36 touchdowns.
And with Mangold back, and he will play this week, they're going to be a little better up front. Having said all that, I still think if we get Hernandez playing for us, we should beat them, I'd say, pretty handily.
You think handily? Okay. Well, sounds like 9 to me.
9.5 is two scores. I wouldn't go two scores. I think that, like I said, if you take away and this is kind of like if the Patriots had drafted Lamar Woodley instead of Brandon Merriweather and took Ed Reed instead of Ben Watson, we'd have a heck of a defense, which goes back to my brother Paul's, thing. You have to include those because you can't take plays out because it's called, an average. So the defense has not played well. They've been given a 400 to 500 yards to crack. That's not an accident. That's a constant.
Yeah,
but I think that they'll get better. I mean, I'm hoping that they will. But when the great almighty Fred Kerr thinks, Jesus Christ, we stink over there, there's people getting near the edge. Fred, you got to park them back there now. Come on now.
Yeah, your name's been changed to Tim now. It's Tim
from
Texas.
No, it's Jim. Jim.
No, the board says Tim. So
well,
it says here you are Tim.
Okay, anyways, but moving as far as all that goes, I still think this. Do they have enough talent on defense where I think they could get better?
No.
Ainsworth is not going to help this team. I don't think he's got anything left.
I disagree.
I was hoping I was wrong, but what do you all think?
I do think Ainsworth, will get right and will contribute to this team, and I think it will be this week.
What about Ellis? Do you think he's going to help this team?
Ellis has been grading out very well. And, he's looked bad in a couple plays, but he's, one of the reasons that Paul, you even said it. One of the reasons McFadden couldn't get to the outside was because
Sean Ellis. I thought Ellis played a good game on Sunday. Evidently, every other person that watched the Patriots thinks Ellis stunk on Sunday.
Yeah, because they saw the two plays where he missed a tackle.
And I only saw one, but that's I thought there were a lot of plays that he stacked up the line on his edge, and that's where Oakland wants to run the football.
And that's what you need
him to do. I thought he played a good game on Sunday. I kind of share Jim's view of Haynesworth. He'll contribute here and there, not consistent, not to be relied upon, and not really a part of this defense. Where I think there's some hope is that this offense is so good, it's going to continue to give the defense time. They're not going to have the pressure of having to win the games for them most weeks, and they might be able to get better. That's why I think that's encouraging, because the offense takes a lot of pressure off the defense. They don't have to go out there and pitch shutouts, and they know that. So if they can just get a little bit better and contribute a little bit, it's going to go a long way to helping them come playoff time.
All right, thanks for that call, Jim. Jim from Texas. Let's go to another part of the country, Kansas City, where Jeff is there. Jeff, is that your name?
No, I'm Tim.
You're Tim. Okay. No, I think you're really Jeff, right?
I had two things I wanted to ask you guys about. One was with Belichick, and the other is the fraudulency of Andy Hart. The first with Belichick is, at some point, we look at the draft every year, we get excited about it. You think, you know, of Quinn or whoever on defense you think is going to be the guy that helps. And every year, if you look at his track record, it really isn't a good one. So we get mid-season, and we're looking at getting rid of guys that we've drafted. We're looking at bringing in other players. Is there not a point where they either bring in help for him or take the checkbook away from him being able to buy their groceries?
No, I don't think so. I really don't. I mean, we're upset because they haven't won a playoff game in a couple of years. But, I mean, overall, they're still one of the best teams in the league, and that's not easy to do in the NFL.
I agree with that side, but when you're looking at his draft record over the last several years, I mean, even after Pioli now, you know, and certainly during Pioli, a lot of those guys aren't around anymore. And those
but
are
isn't
guys
that the same with every
been
team?
Able to build your team around and not have a worry anymore.
Isn't that the same with every team, though? I mean, as far as how many they hit on and how many they don't, isn't Patriots probably right in the middle there?
Your entire 2007 draft is gone.
No. And they had a couple years where they didn't do too well, you know, at the end of the Pioli era. But, you know, they're probably right with all the other teams as far as hits right. and misses since then.
Here's one thing about that I don't like. Do you think the Patriots are better than other teams?
Yeah.
Because I do. I think over the last decade, the Patriots have been at a level above the other teams.
And Belichick, the GM, frustrate each other?
Yeah, I feel like the Patriots are better than the other teams, but yet when it's a negative thing that the Patriots are, well, isn't that what everybody else does? Well, I thought we were better than everybody else.
Right.
So why should we care about the other teams that miss on draft picks? We're not supposed to. Plus, we do it better than everybody else.
I'm just saying that we're probably average when it comes
to... Yeah, well, I don't want to be average.
Oh, that's fine, but, you know, to take away the keys from Belichick?
Wait, whoa. Let's pump the brakes here a little bit. I didn't say I was advocating that.
No, but that was the proposal.
No, I know that, but you're saying, but isn't that the same as every other team? Well, not every other team has Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. If they did, they would probably win just as much as Patriots do because they haven't gotten a lot of contributions out of draft picks the last 5 years.
Plus, the other issue...
You're exactly right.
Was the first-round picks. Is for a while there, you said, when he gets a first-round pick, he's either great,
he nails it.
Good, or very good. And that hasn't been the case since the Merriweather,
and now we're giving them away.
Ben Watson type era. It was early on. It was Seymour and Warren and Wilfork and Mankins, and Graham was the worst. And everybody said he's the best blocking tight end in football. Everybody else would like him.
And Mayo.
Now you're talking about guys you're cutting.
Oh, they.
You didn't want Ben Watson. You let him go through free agency because he could have been cut. Probably he was not that good on this offense. And Merriweather was a swing and a miss.
As was Maroney.
Maroney, yeah.
No.
But now maybe we've gone the other way, right?
Yeah, now, I don't want to take the keys away from them.
I think they had a bad run there. There's no doubt about it. And particularly on defense, they just haven't been really able to, through the draft, with the exception of Mayo, fortify the defense with the young and up-and-coming.
Well, that's all the second-round picks they've blown.
Yeah, I would add Chung.
That's
to
the
that.
Problem.
Mayo and Chung. But I think they've missed on a lot more than they've hit. And that's why... That people that are complaining about the draft, that's what they're talking about. That they don't have a lot of really solid 4 and 5 year players right now. And that's because of 07 and 06 and 08. The drafts just weren't very good.
Thanks for the call, Jeff in Kansas
City. Whoa.
What?
Is he still there?
No.
Oh. I wanted to know why. Yeah. Jeff, call back. I want to know why Andy's a fraud.
Fraud of Andy Hart.
Oh, geez.
That's part of that call.
Jeff, call back. We need to know why Andy's a fraud.
This time, anyway.
Right. Let's go to Lowell with Tiago. Tiago, how you doing?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up?
Nothing much. Just want to, talk about a little bit. I'm not a head coach or nothing, but just about the game plan. Honestly, what I name Rex Ryan's defense is called stopping New England. You've seen what happened to the Ravens. I think Rex Ryan is so focused on stopping just New England that his defense is completely designed for that. But what I do think is, I think it's really time for Tom Brady to start relying on his guys instead of his guys relying on Tom. Pound the crap out of the ball, Ben Jarvis. Eat those 4 yards, slow 3 yards, and then make, Kelvin Pace, Bart Scott, respect the run and stay there. Because if you're just going to pass the ball, you're doing Rex Ryan a favor because that secondary is pretty good.
And they're one of the best against the pass. Now, is that because teams are just running the ball? We don't know. It's kind of a short sample to really understand that. But I get what you're saying. But I think at the end of the day, you take what the defense gives you. And in this game, it sounds like it makes sense to do exactly what you're saying, Tiago, and that's pound the ball, because the Jets have not been good against the run so far. So, we'll see. But I guarantee if they come out stacking the line to stop Stephen Ridley and Ben Jarvis Greenellis, Brady's going to pass the ball.
Yeah, and this is the and honestly, I know Chad Ochocinco has been sucking through, the past 4 games.
Bill!
This is why we got him. This is exactly why we got him.
I would
now
agree.
He has to show. I was listening to it last night while I was at the gym. He made a bet about not tweeting. I hope that this whole time that he didn't tweet, he just hit the books. Because this is exactly the reason why we hired him, why we got him to play here in New England.
I agree with that. He was brought in to beat one-on-one matchups, be an extra weapon, beat Cromartie or whoever the guy is, and it doesn't sound like they have the faith in him to do that yet, that he's being used. If you believe Greg Bedard, it's package week by week. They give him a little something else to do, not quite ready to just be thrown out there and be the difference maker. Getting back to the first thing, I just wanted to say...
Thanks for the call, Tiago.
I agree you might want to run the ball. They have a good pass defense, all that. But there's also something to be said for doing what you do well and doing it. Your pass offense is your strength. I know their pass defense may be their strength, but they're a decent team. You have to beat good teams with your strength. And to me, I'd rather lose with Brady throwing a pick to Revis than I would Ben Jarvis Greenellis going, 8 carries for 20 yards on the first 2 drives. You punt twice and you're losing 10-0 because they drove right down the field on your defense. I don't really want to see that. If I lose, beat my strength.
Right? I agree with that. I mean, if you pointing out 2 ways to lose, I'd rather lose with Tom Brady.
Yeah, I'd rather
I would rather lose with Tom Brady and featuring my best offensive player.
Because then can't you sleep at night? You say, they just beat me. They were better than us today. But if I go out there and my game plan is for Brady to hand the ball off, 75% of the time early, I feel like I didn't put my best foot up forward.
It's the same thing in any sport. In basketball, at the end of the game, the game on the line, you want that ball in Michael Jordan's hands or Larry Bird's hands.
The problem with that, though, is you don't get to see what would have happened had you done the other thing.
Right.
So if you go out there and you say, Tom Brady is my best player, and our passing game is what leads to our 500 yards of total offense every week, and I got away from that. Maybe if I just kept, or I did it anyway, and like you said, Revis had a big pick and turned the game around. Maybe if I had just, handed the ball off to Ridley and Greenellis, I might have been able to eliminate the impact that Revis would have in the game. I could have won that.
And obviously part of this is what I think of Greenellis. I feel differently with Ridley.
Well, it isn't.
Because I feel like he can break plays and move the ball and be a playmaker, whereas I don't think you're going to go four yards with Greenellis.
Doesn't it all come down to, once you get past those initial scripted plays that you're going to start the game out, having either an offensive coordinator or, in this case, Tom Brady, having a feel for what is going to work and just doing that and not, we have to run now because we passed before. The feeling for what's going to work against what they're seeing, when they get back to the huddle and, Gronkowski's like, I'm killing my guy. You got to go to me. This guy can't cover me. Yeah. And those are the kind of things that, happen during a game. And it's not so much, here's our philosophy going in. We have to stick to it. It's getting a feeling for what's happening out there on the field.
Yes, no question.
Jim is back from Texas, and he's going to tell us why Andy's a fraud.
hey, buddy, I'm sorry. Your friend hung up on me like 20 minutes before. You guys kept talking for a while, but I lost the connection. I didn't hang up on y'all.
No problem. We're not mad at you.
I wasn't even
supposedly I called somebody a fraud. I don't think I did that.
No, it was the guy in Kansas City.
Oh, okay, Jim. We don't need you.
Okay. You know what, though? You guys are all right. You don't want to have it. And I don't call for a year, and you guys forget who I am. You know what I mean? I'm devastated. But you
know, no.
I don't forget. You're the greatest motivational speaker on the planet.
Yes. I know exactly who you are.
You're from Houston, right?
That's not me. That's Fred. Fred or Frank or Jeff or Jake Steele or whatever.
Fred has failed miserably in that area of late.
No, but he always talks about Fred with those glowing terms. I love that.
So often for that thing, so you look that one up.
Okay. Thanks, Jim.
He's in the Coast Guard, right? I thought he was in the Coast Guard.
So we need Jeff.
Call back, Jim. Let me know if you're in Coast Guard.
We need Jeff from Kansas City to call back. He's the one that said that.
Called me a fraud.
Right.
And then hung up like a poonani.
I don't think he hung up. I
don't either. You got rid of both those guys.
Well, that's what they say to do.
Who's they?
You know, the people.
Consultants.
You know,
I don't always go to that school. I mean, I know Mike Felger is now the God's gift to radio, and I think he cuts people off left and right. I think you lose good discussion because I don't need to hear more Mike Felger. I'd rather hear other voices. I can hear him beat the whole same point home all week long. God forbid somebody have two sentences that he has to say.
Wow.
Give me a break.
Am I wrong, Paul? He cuts people off all the time.
Does he not allow you on his show? Is that what you're all upset about?
Most of the time.
He doesn't allow callers on his show. They call in for one sentence, and he, like, bang, hits the button quick.
Yeah, he's very consistent. He keeps you very short when you call. Most of the time,
because God forbid you speak when he could be talking.
Most of the time, I don't have a problem with it because I do think that a lot of times the callers just kind of ramble and they repeat the same thing. But there are times he does it rudely every time, and that's never right, in my opinion. You should always let a person who's talking, who thinks enough to listen to your show and participate in it, you should let them talk. And we have it. Believe me, when I'm sitting in your chair, I don't like being the host, and I do it on Sunday mornings. It's hard because sometimes the callers.
Yeah, Paul lets them go on and on
There's got to be a balance between how long I let them talk and, you know, what Felger does and cuts them off in the middle of a sentence.
Oliver in Sydney, Australia writes in. He says, I hope this email finds the show better. Last week I sent one in, and Fred said, Oliver in Australia emails in. Then Andy and Paul interrupted with some pointless banter, and lo and behold, a tangent killed my email. What I have to say this week is that I think if Chad Ochocinco was going to contribute to this team this year, this is the week. Paul already identified all the reasons he thought the Pats had to win this game. The Jets are playing the last of a three-game road stretch, have lost two in a row, and don't really look professional on either side of the ball. If New England can't beat New York this week, it doesn't bode well for the rest of the season. I think Welker will be covered by Revis, and Cromartie will take Hernandez, hoping he plays, while the Jets linebackers will have to focus on Gronkowski and the running game. I really think Ocho will be the forgotten man this week by Rex Ryan in his game planning, and I really think Ocho is far better than he's played. So I'm putting it out there, over five catches for 100 yards this week for Chad. That'd be something, huh?
Paul, you want to rip him? I know you get mad at all these people that predict the breakout week.
No, the five catches is probably realistic. The 100 yards to me isn't. But did anybody see Damian Woody on ESPN?
Not going to be one of those guys that slims down when he gets off the field.
Please don't talk with your mouth full.
He looks like he ate Mike Compton.
Oh, he's really.
Oh, my goodness. Look at him.
He looks the same.
He doesn't.
He looks the same.
Well, he's sitting next to two really small guys. You know?
I think you're out of your mind. You don't think he looks bigger than he did when he played?
No.
Okay.
I think he looks bigger than the last time I saw him on ESPN.
He certainly looks bigger than the last. I talked to him after the playoff game last year, and he didn't look that big.
Toussaint writes in. He says, I'm excited about this week. Really looking forward to putting this beat down on the Jets. Why is everyone crying about Mangold being hurt? That shouldn't be an excuse. Patriots lost Dan Copen week one, and we haven't missed a beat. Tell Tannenbaum to draft some depth. And stop crying. I like it. Love it. Paul, nothing?
He looks like he wants to speak.
I wanted to make sure I spoke at the right time. You yelled at me the last time.
Only Fred can talk on the show with his mouth full.
I didn't forget what we were talking about.
Depth, mango.
Well, we didn't lose the best center in football.
Oh, who's crying?
Well, there's a lot.
Can you imagine, by the way, and I haven't heard anybody cry about this. Can you imagine if the Patriots had a three-game road trip and the last one was at the Jets?
Fred would be bitching. He'd be leading the charge.
Well, they opened the season, what? Two at home and three on the road. Right.
Can you imagine if the Patriots had to do that?
They've had to. Phil in Nova Scotia writes in, as I watch the snow fall outside my workplace window, I wonder if the Jets or Cowboys would improve if they exchange quarterbacks. I think Sanchez is better at not losing than Romo is at winning. So would the Jets improve with Tony Romo as their quarterback?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
Would the Cowboys improve with Sanchez as their quarterback?
I love that question, though. It's very interesting. Wish I had an answer.
I don't know. It's a good question. Paul's right.
Yeah, I don't really have an answer either. I don't really care for either, so.
I think Sanchez lacks consistency. I don't think he lacks talent. I think everybody likes to just say he stinks because they see a game where, you know, the bottom falls out. I don't put the Baltimore game on the quarterback last week.
No.
When he gets blindsided twice and loses the ball and they result in touchdowns. Now, maybe Tom Brady doesn't allow that to happen. Maybe he knows where that pressure is coming from. Maybe that is on the quarterback. But to me, those were too quick to be all about the quarterback. You know, Joe Flacco, for example, in that game, had a play where he was scrambling behind the line of scrimmage for a long time before Maben finally chased him down and he stripped the ball. That's on the quarterback. You can't hold the ball that long, and you can't have it that loose when you're running around behind the line of scrimmage like that to allow that to happen. Sanchez is not a great quarterback, he's certain, but every time the Jets lose, it's because of the quarterback.
Right.
That's the way it's perceived. And I guess part of that is that's what you get when you sign up in New York. You know, the Sanchez and all that crap. He probably gets too much credit for the playoff wins that he didn't have as much to do with as, you know, maybe some, you know, like Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and whatnot. So maybe it's fair. Maybe it balances out. Maybe he doesn't deserve the credit that he gets when they win. But I think, I watched a lot of that Raiders game. They didn't lose that game because of Mark Sanchez. They lost the game because their nuclear-powered defense couldn't stop the Raiders' offense.
Gene in Daytona says, hello, Fred and guys at the new Subway Fresh broadcast studio at Gillette Stadium. Fred, I want Andy to stop calling Kevin numbnuts. Kevin is his superior, and he should have more respect for him than that. Andy also threatened to stuff Eric into his new luggage. Not only is that not a nice thing to do, but I think it is also some sort of TSA violation besides wrinkling Eric's favorite cashmere sweater. Andy totally amazes me in how he continually double-talks Paul into an argument. Somehow, as smart as Paul is in football, Andy seems to get Paul into an argument, and then we're off. All control of the show is gone. Paul is in the hot stage, and the argument is on. One question I have for Fred, though, is when Paul gets to the hot stage and a little out of control, is Paul's brother near by the Subway Fresh broadcast studio to pull him off, Andy? You know, there is nowhere for Andy to run in that Subway Fresh broadcast studio like there was for Paul's local landscaper in Everett. Andy totally amazes me on how he can argue over anything. I bet he could even argue with himself. You know, I see people like that in the supermarket all the time. You think they're on a Bluetooth talking to someone, but no. They're standing there alone in the aisle arguing with a can of Boston baked beans. Maybe that was what the Andy I saw. Who else do you know that can fart on demand? That would be
That's
Andy.
A lot of people.
And he goes on.
Andy had an argument with himself just this week. I think yesterday he had that rambling stream of consciousness. You were going
I definitely
back and forth.
Argue with myself a lot.
He's battening down the hatches in Daytona for Bike Oktoberfest next week. I think Andy would like it, though, because he is passionate about breasts.
Yes.
All you have to do is smile at some girl and she'll pull up her T-shirt. It's a problem here, and we are trying to control it.
Problem.
I don't know if Andy would help, though.
What are you,
What's
Eric?
What's the problem?
Well, if your kid's walking around.
Oh, well, that's a good point, Freddie.
I told my son about
breasts
this.
Breasts are natural. They're nothing to be ashamed of.
I told my son about this T-shirt problem we're having here, and I guess he decided to help. He told the guys at the shop about the problem, and now my wife tells me today his friends rented a truck to transport their bikes to there from Buffalo and are renting a house nearby. He said I should be expecting a call from them and asked me to treat them nice. I said to him I would treat them like I would treat him, so I guess I will be going to the supermarket and getting some steaks for the grill later. Okay, let's... Right.
Supermarket.
So anyway, that's Gene in Daytona.
That's good stuff, Gene.
How's the weather, Gene? Isn't that our weatherman who got criticized for being?
I believe he is. I believe he is.
Let's see. John in South Carolina. Chad was Chad last year, and his production was not good. Chad's production has to do with what is happening on the field, not on Twitter. That being said, there will be a game when Chad is called upon, and he will answer. By the way, Andy, please stop
Sounds like a $5 million receiver to me.
One game a year.
By the way, Andy, please stop trying to paint Paul as the negative one. You are 1,000 times more negative.
I agree.
Paul may think the Pats have a weak defense, but if it turns out he is wrong, he is happy that the Pats' defense is good.
And also happy to admit it.
Andy would
and
rather...
You'll then call me a liar when I say I'm wrong.
Andy would
you
rather...
You don't really think you're wrong. You're just saying you're wrong.
Andy
That's
would rather be right than it turn out the Pats' defense is actually good.
Fact.
The end of the year,
That's
the
accurate.
Patriots' defense will be a solid C. Not great, but it won't suck either. So there.
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I mean, I see them... Like, last year, they got better as the season went on, and they... I think the last week of the season they squeaked like to 9 or something in points a lot. That's the best I could see them happening. They're not going to be a good defense. 8, 9, 10 points allowed. That's and that will only be because of the offense. The offense will suffocate teams and they'll quit. And that's what happened last year. They're not. I just don't see them being a great defense. But you're right. If that happens and all of a sudden they're holding teams to under 10 points every week, I'll admit I was wrong.
TG's in Jersey. He says, guys, plain and simple, can we run the ball on the Jets?
Yes.
Why won't Sexy Rexy use the same game plan as last year's playoff loss? I think they'll do a lot of
those
things.
It'll be similar. He just might employ his personnel a little bit differently. Andy thinks Revis will take Welker, which he didn't do in the playoff game last year.
That is correct.
But I think he might do the same style, only instead of crowding the middle with multiple players, you might put Revis in the middle on Welker.
Nobody told me before the injury report came out that Wilkerson, the rookie, was hurt.
Shoulder.
I didn't know that. I think he's a pretty good player.
He's played pretty well. I mean, I don't know what his stats are like. I mean, that's kind of a funny position
for
stats.
I don't care
like
about
Seymour.
Stats. I just want to see a guy that can be disruptive and be
he
in the way.
He was disruptive in the games that I saw. I saw a lot of the Jacksonville and Oakland games.
Will the Pats' pathetic pass rush have success against the Jets' pathetic O-line?
That's the question of the week. I can't assume it. I haven't seen it, so how do you assume it?
Because we went to Miami, and we thought that O-line was no good, and they didn't, So, which team is more hindered by injuries? I'd say at this point the Patriots.
Depending on the injuries.
Mayo?
If Mangold plays, then the Patriots.
But it also depends on if Hernandez plays and if Dowling plays. If they have another week like last week, then I'd say the Patriots.
But we know they're going to be missing Mayo. Are the Jets missing anybody of that caliber?
No.
Not as of right now.
That's
why. What's the chance of Sean Ellis being a sleeper cell? In other words, a spy.
We talked about that yesterday. That would be great.
I called him the embedded
it
jet
would be
yesterday.
Good. I don't think that would be
I think
good.
It'd be the greatest story in the history of sports. Wow.
Did you see what TCU did, by the way, to change the subject on one of our mindless tangents? TCU was supposed to leave the Mountain West and go to the Big East for 2012. They're now going to the Big 12. Evidently, when the Big East lost more teams, Syracuse, Pitt, that allowed them an out because they're now going to the Big 12.
That's good for them.
And finally,
it makes sense for TCU. They were an old Southwest Conference team, I believe, back in the day.
Good TCU talk. Fred,
Southwest college football. Sorry, Fred. We're preparing for who the Patriots might pass on in the draft next year.
Fred, can we get the cameraman of PFW TV to hold the damn camera steady?
Common
I got
theme.
Dizzy and almost threw up watching the last show. What's with all the camera movement? It's not necessary.
It's artistic.
F the Jets. We get a lot of people who say that.
Yeah, it's not going to change.
The question is, what does it add to a show?
What, F the Jets?
When you have it moving like that.
I don't know. It doesn't bother me like it bothers you guys, though.
Oh, it doesn't bother me as much as it bothers everyone I talk to. I hear a lot of complaints.
I get a lot of people on Twitter saying, why can't they just hold the camera steady?
Yeah.
I've been told it has something to do with they're shooting two cameras instead of three or something. I don't know what that means.
I think the fact that they don't put them on tripods is an excuse.
What?
So if you had them on tripods, they'd obviously be steady. It's hard to keep it steady on your shoulder. So let's just go the other way and make it.
But they did
this. Oh, no, that's not why.
No. When we were on 56, they used to do this.
Yes.
Remember, it's
something that they
think is good.
It's an MTV thing. It's like a young generation thing.
It's also like the new
TMZ.
Thing that when they tape people, have you ever noticed, like, that they put the head right at the top of the screen? Like, even sometimes cutting off a portion of the, I've never understood that. Shouldn't the whole guy's head be in the picture?
Where do you see this?
Everywhere.
Really?
The framing of the head, not on ESPN obviously right now, but a lot of places. You know, don't point to the first screen you see in the guy's head happens to be centered.
This isn't a good example, but you know, a lot of the younger things that the TMZ show, anything you see on MTV, they do a lot of that kind of angles.
Ooh, it's artsy. Ooh.
Yeah, you get angles, you get motion, you get
sickness.
Yeah, I think it's kind of distracting. It doesn't bother me as much as it does certainly our watchers, because they send us Andy and I stuff on Twitter every week. Why can't they hold the camera steady?
Nate writes in, why don't the Patriots put spikes in middle linebacker position to stop the run and move Mark Anderson and Dane Fletcher to the outside linebackers and send them on blitzes? They have shown they can get to the quarterback. And another question, what time does the pregame social start every week?
2 hours and 15 minutes before kickoff. This
right.
week, 2 p.m.
2 p.m. this week.
Be here.
2 o'clock Eastern time. But I don't
Mark Anderson has never played linebacker.
Yeah, I don't quite understand that.
And he couldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, he couldn't even be an outside linebacker in a 3-4, which is similar to a defensive end. Never mind an outside linebacker in a 4-3, which Bill says is an inside linebacker position, essentially.
Brandon Spikes is the middle linebacker, too,
yeah.
right?
Well, I think he was talking more about the other two. And Dane Fletcher has been an inside linebacker since the day he got here. Now, I think he could play on the outside in a 4-3, but I don't know that he'd be any great pass rush specialist.
Giovanni from Chandler, Arizona. Is it just me, or are the New York Jets the equivalent to the big, dumb, ugly bully from grade school? Remember how he was a big, strong, but you knew that he was so dumb that he would never make it anywhere in life? So even when he beat kids up, you just smiled knowing he was going to clean toilets at McDonald's when he was 40, and you'd be driving an Audi. Anyway, Sanchez has looked like crap over the past few weeks, more than usual, that is. And even the Jets' run game has been sputtering. Patriots' offensive numbers exceed the Jets by a large margin. Patriots average over 50 rushing yards and 150 passing yards a week more than New York. I think the Pats will try to run the ball more this week, and I hope to see Ben Jarvis and Ridley tear it up. Rex Ryan, I refuse to capitalize his name, has been up to his usual stupidity, wearing a makeshift Hall of Fame jacket to a press conference because he was inducted into the Hall of Fame in some southwestern Oklahoma institute of nobody gives a crap. Now he's saying two Hall of Fame coaches going at it. Yeah, more like one Hall of Fame coach and one 700-pound, three-chin-having, pompous ass. Can I tell you I dislike the Jets?
One more thing. I like that hatred.
What the hell is Heath Evans doing on NFL Network breaking down the Jets' offense and how Sanchez can have success against New England? Bunch of idiots. As always, Jets are garbage, Andy is awesome, and Ken Walter rocks.
Our emailers have been good today.
I like that kind of hatred. Just unmitigated, forget the facts, throw it all out the window, just I hate them. I love that.
Now, he's right. Obviously, the NESCAC, being in an Athletic Hall of Fame in the NESCAC, is a much greater honor than Southwest Oklahoma State or whatever it is.
Are you in the Hall of Fame at Tufts?
No.
No? Paul's in the Hall of Fame at BU.
Knew that was coming.
You are.
You know he's not, right?
What do you mean
he's not? It's the Baseball Hall of Fame.
At BU. BU Baseball Hall of Fame.
Am I wrong?
It's the BU Baseball Hall of Fame.
But it's not...
It's not the university's Hall of Fame.
Okay, that's...
It's the university's Baseball Hall of Fame.
Okay, that's just what I want to clarify.
That is a clarification. I don't really see the need to rain on my parade, but that's okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. You have to be negative. I know how you are.
I'm just saying.
What Hall of Fame are you in, Andy?
None.
Dartmouth High School.
No, I'm not.
No?
No.
Oh, wow. I thought he was kind of a big deal in high school. That's what he's always telling us. Remember he brought his scrapbook in that time, Andy?
Shut up.
I just dropped it.
I remember that.
No, actually, I didn't. You're an idiot.
Come on. That was funny.
Stephen Albany
there's
says...
There's a line blinking. Is that the guy that says I'm a fraud?
No.
Oh.
No. Stephen Andy. Hey, guys.
If you not
Andy
listen
says
live,
Steve,
call Tuesday if
Stephen
you
Stephen Albany. I have to agree with your assessment of the Patriots in the news when they play well versus losses. I was watching Inside the NFL last night, and they were discussing the 3-1 teams. Off the bat, they took the Pats off the list because it isn't surprising. However, if the Pats lose to the Jets, I'm sure it'll be all over the place. Personally, I feel a loss this weekend could do one of two things. It would either motivate this team to become better, as if the Bills' loss wasn't enough, or it will collapse the remaining confidence to the team. To your point about Steve Jobs, I don't own any Apple products, but I have nothing but respect for the man for what he's done to the world of technology.
He invented the Keurig, too, you know.
Invented the what?
Keurig.
The Keurig?
He didn't.
Coffee maker?
I don't think. Oh. I think they were being ShamWow. Sarcastic.
Do you have a Keurig at home?
No.
No?
That's really expensive.
No, they're not.
I have a Keurig.
No, the pods.
Oh, yeah. It comes out to like 75 cents a cup or something. Yeah.
And for me, they're not very big cups, so I would probably have to use two. If I'm going to spend $1.50, I might as well just go to Dunkin' Donuts and get a coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got.
But they are convenient.
I got one of those.
They're very, what they're great for is parties. Well, that's what they're great for. Because you can do a hot chocolate for this person, or this for that person, and all of a sudden everybody's got their
different
cup.
But you all have to wait in line.
But it only takes like a minute or something. Yeah. You have to wait for somebody to do it the regular way, too.
Yeah, we got one for my father, actually, for Father's Day last year.
They're perfect for old people, yeah. Very, very good for the
old. My father's old, huh?
Yeah, it's a fact. He's old.
Zach from Middletown. Hey, guys.
You're old, and he's your father.
Right. You're old as dirt, and he's your father. So, Zach, in Everett, he's at least, what, 13 years
like
older than you?
It's like the Mandelbaum.
Oh, did you hear what he just said?
What did he say?
We're making the jokes. Well, I'm old, so he's your father. Obviously, he's old. He goes, in Everett, he's at least, what, 13 years older than you?
Oh. It's like the Mandelbaums on Seinfeld.
That's just poor to me. Yeah, Skippy?
Right.
Skippy Mandelbaum?
You're getting further and further from people understanding all the Seinfeld references.
You want a piece of me?
So. When did that show go off the air? 15 years ago?
Yeah, but it's been on reruns. It's still on reruns.
In some part of the world, Seinfeld is always on.
Well, that's just the day we live in. You can find anything.
Why don't you just, see, this is why they don't like you, Andy. Just admit, you know what? I didn't watch it. I missed it. And what little I saw, I didn't really catch right away. Obviously, I'm wrong. Not everybody could be wrong about this one show. It's like The Office for me. I don't get The Office, but there's a lot of people.
There's millions of people that are wrong about the same thing every day.
Well, like the King of the Queens.
You just can't do it.
Well, it's fact.
When King of the Queens was on live,
the King of
I never had any interest in watching it. Now in rerun, it's a very funny show.
Oh, King of Queens
is well written.
Was very good.
Yes, yeah, excellent.
A lot of those funny shows are legitimately funny. Like if they make it to syndication as a comedy, if you watch it, you're gonna laugh.
Old friend Mike Parenti was a huge King of Queens fan.
Yeah, it's very funny.
I watched your show for the second week in a row. The big boobed girl. Who's on all the commercials now? The Hispanic girl.
Oh, Sofia Vergara.
That show's pretty funny.
It's pretty funny.
Absolutely drop dead hilarious.
And the one after it is growing on me, or before it, the Suburgatory.
Suburgatory. That was only the second time it was on. I watched it last night. It was growing on me.
The only thing I don't like about that, and sometimes Modern Family does, I tuned in Modern Family last week and I caught the end of that Suburgatory, and it was someone like, not reminiscing, but giving their thoughts after the show, like wrapping it up.
Yeah.
I hate that.
A lot of shows do that now.
I hate that.
The show after Modern Family, Happy Endings, which I always mean to tell you, you can't have anything named Happy Endings, but there's a whole sitcom named Happy Endings.
But it's a dirty one. I watched the first 5 minutes last night. It was sperm bank jokes. So it's clearly not it must be after 10 or whatever.
It's a 9:30 show.
But the Modern Family, the one though. Last, they were talking about The Blind Side, and when he goes, he was a tight end, and then she goes, offensive line, and he was an African-American tight end.
First she said black. He was a black tight end.
Yeah.
And then he goes, okay,
she goes, offensive line. And, oh, sorry, African-American. Made me laugh out loud.
Your
She's
mom
hot,
is
though,
the quarterback of this family.
Who?
Yeah.
The Latin.
Yeah, I also like the mother, the blonde mother.
Yeah, she's Julie Bowen is very underrated.
Last night she got a little wet. Her nipples were hard and they were coming through her shirt.
Oh my God,
she looks good.
I noticed that too, Andy. There was only one nipple. It was only
one. Well, one, and then the second one started to come out. It was like, I want to come out too.
He wanted to party.
He's unbelievable.
We're like in third grade.
He's like watching sitcoms to get his.
You're
going to
tell me if you were watching that, you wouldn't notice her nipples are showing.
I think she's very underrated.
And she's hot.
I think she's very underrated.
I like her character.
You remember her from, which one? Was it Billy Madison?
Oh, hot. Want to
Happy Gilmore.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
She's the PR girl for golf. The golf PR chick that he ends up. Yeah. Julie Bowen.
Huh. I didn't notice that.
Help me out here, someone. Strippers. Get to that.
Zach from Middletown says, hey, guys, do you think the decline of McCurdy has to do with the talent of the opposing receiver he practices against? Moss was opposite.
I didn't think that's where that was going.
That's a great twist.
Moss was opposite McCurdy last season, off season, training camp, and for a few weeks during the season. And Fred, please finish my theory. And also, how is Mallett looking? Don't start yelling at me, please.
Haven't seen him.
Yeah. Mallett's kind of off the radar.
Well, you don't get to see him. You don't get to watch practice. You don't. All we see him do is either be on the sideline or not on the sideline, in a hat, not in a hat.
We will not be able to give you any kind of intelligent information about Mallett until next August.
Fingers crossed.
508-298-0398.
Because if he plays, it's really hitting
the fan. It's really, really bad.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Virginia, where Olivier is.
Olivier,
how you doing?
Leader of men, how are you?
Good. I'm leading men.
Excellent. In my book, you guys are a Hall of Famers, all of you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. I'm the only legitimate one, though.
Legitimate.
That's true, but, you know, some of us have to aspire to perfection.
So where is this Hall of Fame? How do I attend it, Paul? How do I go see your plaque?
Sure, you can go online.
No, I want the brick and mortar
building,
as they
say.
Where do I see this Hall of Fame?
Do you want me to bring
Where's
in the little
bust?
Bowl that they
you
gave
know,
me? That
your other bust.
You know what? You know what? That would be funny. We should bring a camera to be you. And just
and try
like,
to find
just
it.
Just go in
and
ask the first person.
Just start asking people at BU. Can you tell me where the BU Baseball Hall of Fame is?
The Paul Perillo Shrine?
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
Particularly, yeah. Oh, that would be funny.
What do you mean you don't know him? He was 4-27.
It was kind of like when I tried to find anybody who knew if Eric kicked for the football team.
Right.
I actually did it, though, and I couldn't find anybody.
Yeah, I wasn't very good, but even Coach Casey remembered me at least.
That
he
would
remembered me, too, that day, if you recall.
He said I looked like I could still play, and didn't
say I looked like I was giving up home runs.
Olivier, so what do you got?
Well, you know, I after the conversation yesterday, I decided to come see the game in Foxborough on Sunday.
Oh,
so first time I'm going to see a Patriots game in Foxborough, and I wanted to get your recommendation. You know, what type of seat should I get? You know, what location in the stadium, and any recommendation for tailgating and stuff like that?
Okay, well, let's start with the seats.
You don't have tickets?
Whatever's available. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to have to go with whatever you can get.
Obviously, money's no object.
There's a lot of seats available right now.
Yeah, StubHub, right?
Yeah.
It depends how much you want to spend. Obviously, something in the middle of the field, the 100 level, not too low. But Paul and I are big fans of the 200 level on the corners.
I was going to say for the value.
A mid-level ticket, but a very good seat where you can see pretty well.
And try to get it so you're closer to the sideline portion, because those kind of bend around the corners of the end zone and the side. If you get, you know, furthest to the field side, you could probably get on like maybe the 10 or 15 yard line.
Yep.
And if you get down low, I think that'd be a really nice view of the game.
So and then worst case scenario, if you have to go up in the 300 level.
As low as you can.
Get the level. There's a step down level that's actually below the concourse.
Yeah, I see.
Near the middle of the field, those aren't terrible seats if you can get a low
row.
For
the money, those 200 levels are good value.
Yes.
Yeah, so 214 to 218 and 201 to 205. I'm looking at the internet right now as I'm speaking to you. So like, I'll try to do that.
Yeah, those are good.
And then as far as tailgating now, how are you getting here? You got renting a car or?
Yeah, I'm getting to Boston on
on
Saturday morning, and then my wife and I will spend some time in Boston in the North End to the Italian place, because I'm Italian, so of course I have to go see the Heritage, and then on Sunday I guess we'll go to Foxborough.
Well, the game starts at 4:15, and the parking lot's open 4 hours early. So at 12:15 you can get into the lots and hang out there. Gates open 3 hours early, so you know, you hang out in the parking lot for a while. I wouldn't wait like half an hour before the game because the lines get really long. So I would go into the stadium at about 3:15.
Plus, you can walk around, see the whole stadium, you know, go to the lighthouse, just look at the different perspectives before you go to your seat.
Right. So you don't want to.
Where's Paul's shrine?
That's at BU. That's not here.
There's one at BU and there's one in the upper admin level men's room. It's skull number 3, I believe.
Yeah. And the other question
Andy
I
have
was,
in the stall.
Obviously, you know, you guys are going to be busy, and I would have loved to shake in your hands, but it's not going to be possible because of the intensity of the day. But the other question I had was, I've heard that Mangold's coming back. I'm not sure in what shape he's going to be, but if he's coming back, what's going to be the, who's going to man him? Who's going to be, the person to?
Well, it's going to be a combination of guys. I mean, sometimes Wilfork will be up against him. Sometimes it might be Sean Ellis, or if Haynesworth plays, certainly Haynesworth.
And your boy, Love?
Kyle Love will be in there. So, you know, the way the Patriots line up, you never know who's going to be in and around the center. So it could be any one of those guys. But I think they're rushing Mangold back. So,
but it's also, whether they're rushing him or not, it's going to be his first game back. I mean, that's never the ideal for the guy to go up against.
It's not going to be 100%.
Right, to go up against two potential all-pro type talents in Haynesworth or Wilfork or Kyle Love has played well. So that might be something, even if he's back, they can exploit.
Yep.
Yeah. What is your expectation? I mean, this is not obviously like the same level of intensity that we faced during the last the last game in January or in December, and not the one where we beat them up 45-3. What is it? Are we looking at the same intensity, or is it going to be a bit less due to the fact that they have their problems, we also have our problems? So is it going to be
now when
the
you
same
say
level of
on the rivalry? Field or in the stands among the fans? When you talk about intensity, what are you talking about?
Well, of course, you know, since it's a home game, I assume the fans are going to be lubing as usual to support the team, but. I was wondering if the same intensity from a physical play and a strategy play between the two teams.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I do. I think every time these two teams play,
they hate each other.
It's bragging
they
rights.
They bring the best out of each other.
Yeah, yeah. It's I don't know if they really hate each other, but
oh, they do. And they, I
you
mean,
think so?
Yeah, I do. I think
there's enough individuals.
There's enough people that hate. I think Tom Brady hates him. I think Bill Belichick hates him. Even Logan Mankins in the interview you can see on Comcast tonight on Patriots Football Weekly TV, 7:30 p.m., mentioned that it's different with the Jets. That loss is still very much in their mind, not just because it was playoffs, but because it was the Jets. And every week against the Jets is a little bit different.
That's fantastic. It's going to be a good game, I guess, right?
Yes, fights.
Yeah.
All right, Olivier.
Well, I appreciate your support. I look forward, supporting the team. Last time I saw them play, actually, was in the Super Bowl in Arizona, and I bought a ticket for about $3,000, and to be on the 50-yard line in the, unfortunately, on the Giants side, and I was.
At least you're on the winning side.
So insulted in my life by individuals that were not very nice to me because I had a Patriots jersey in the Giants defense in the Giants side, but. I'm still suffering from that game.
I know.
Aren't we all?
All right, Olivier. Thanks for
calling
in.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks for reminding us about
that
game.
What do you think? We joked about it earlier, but what do you think Bart Scott will have to say if they win? You know, his little they couldn't stop a nosebleed comment. I mean, what's he going to say this time? Because this defense is worse. There's no doubt this defense is worse than it was last year when he was thought it was miscast or whatever. I mean, he could talk about a waterfall or something. Nosebleed waterfall.
Gabe,
we got any practice updates yet, Paul? I see you searching the tweets.
Gabe writes in my email yesterday, I neglected to add Wilfork's over-under on interceptions for the year. It should have read 4.
Under.
But staying with the theme, over-under. Welker receptions, 10. Over-under for this game.
Under.
Under.
I'll say under.
Well, I'm going to stick with, if Revis is on him, I find it hard to believe he's going to have 10 catches.
Now, he says Ocho Cinco plays 3. I'm not sure what that means.
Making a play, not actual snap. I'm going to take over.
All right. Patriots sacks, 2.
Over.
Over. Patriots interceptions, 1.
Push. Push, there,
over.
2.
Over.
Brady passing yards, 350.
Under.
Under. Brady TDs, 3.
Under.
Push.
Push. Ridley running yards, 100.
Under.
Oh. Defensive yards allowed, 400.
Over.
Over.
Yeah, over.
Gostkowski field goals, 1.
Under. Oh, I mean over.
He
says,
say
over as well.
Well, Gabe says if this is more, then I believe it will be a struggle for the offense, which I doubt it will be, but against the footsies, you never know. So he says if this is more than 1 Gostkowski field goal.
That's not good for the Patriots.
It indicates a struggle.
You want them putting touchdowns on the board because this defense is as shaky as it is. You need to maximize your points against anyone.
Okay.
All right, yeah, good.
Let's see. Chad Henne out for the season. Yeah, we know about that. Somebody writing in.
See, he won't be able to. Maybe the Patriots can give up 300 yards to different Jag quarterbacks over the course of the season with the Dolphins.
Chris writes in from Stamford. Looking at the Pats' focus on running, do you think they should look at an H-back or fullback? The Pats haven't had a bruiser since Fred McCrary got hurt in 2003 and Patrick Pass took over. This year, Dan Gronkowski couldn't block well enough, while Dane Fletcher or Thomas Welch don't look like the answers. What do you think about adding a full-time fullback special
love
teamer
it.
To the roster?
Love it. Don't Hate think it's going to happen,
Hate
but
it.
Love it. That's not what they do. They're going to use that extra tight end or extra tackle or whatever in that motioning. It's not that big a part of the offense.
I just don't think you need it today.
I mean, I'd love to see it. I'm with John Hanna. You want to? All these teams want to be in sub-defenses. Just run right at them. I'm not sure they'd be in sub-defense if I have a fullback on the field. But
Russ in England. Hey,
don't shake your bleeping head at me.
I'm shaking my bleeping head at you.
Let's see. Hey, Fred, guys, let's try to keep a sense of perspective on the draft. You guys mentioned the early first-round picks that Belichick hit on. Warren, Wilfork, Mankins, etc. Don't forget the recent picks, Mayo, McCourty, and Solder.
No, I said we're coming back again.
Well, I don't know about
We don't know about Solder.
I mean, I know about Mayo, but I don't know about the other two.
Yeah. Maroney and
Merriweather. I don't know about
Maroney and Merriweather were bad picks, so he's human. Don't forget, in 2010, he picked up Hernandez in the third round, Gronk in the second. Two contributors on defense, Spikes and Cunningham, in the second round. And the year before, he got Chung in the second round. He's picked up excellent specialists, Mesko and Gostkowski. And even at the end of the draft, he found Julian Edelman, another contributor. Belichick's failure is that he hasn't found that one huge impact player on defense. He found some impact on offense, but that's not good enough for us spoiled Patriots fans. Belichick has kept the Patriots relevant for 10 years, something most other teams would love to have been, just my tuppence worth.
Well, if he were truly 0 for the draft, truly 0 for the, he'd be gone because he wouldn't be good.
And if we're also using the definition of contributor and we're including people like Jermaine Cunningham, then who's he missed on?
Right.
I mean, he doesn't play.
Right.
You know, Spikes has played really a role in one of four games so far.
Right.
So if those are Julian Edelman, if that's a contributor, then, yeah, he hasn't missed on any picks then.
Right.
Except for the ones that aren't here anymore.
The problem is when you lump those quote-unquote contributors in with guys who don't contribute, like Brace, Butler, Wheatley, yeah, those guys, now you really look bad.
And when we're talking about drafts, we're talking about basically the top two, maybe three rounds. You're going to get, every couple of years, you're going to get a guy in the seventh round like Edelman, you know, who comes in and he fills a role for you. You talk about the specialists. Well, he left out, you know, one of the specialists that he drafted is no longer here, in Jake Ingram. That's not good. When you draft a specialist, you're expecting not to have to worry about that spot for 10 years.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So 2 for 3 even isn't good enough.
And the other thing is I focus on the second round picks because he focuses on them. So I feel like if he's going to focus on them and want to collect them, you know, and he thinks that's where he wants to be, well, then you better hit on him.
And it's
because I want you to focus on first rounders where you can get impact guys.
And again, the jury's out on a lot of these guys. We don't know enough about a lot of these guys yet to say that they're good picks. You know, to just say that Nate Solder is a great pick, I don't know. I mean, he's done a nice job.
Or McCourty.
But he's also,
I would have said at the start of the year.
Right.
But.
Right. But with Solder, he's played 4 games, right? And he really played, and he started 3 of them. At tackle, he's given up his share of plays, and he's made his share of plays. He's been good.
He's been fine.
But I don't know if he's my long-term left tackle 10 years. I don't have to worry about him.
Right.
I hope so. I think he's going to be. I like what I've seen, but he's played 4 games. I don't know yet.
Did you see that Hank Williams Jr. has reportedly pulled his name, music, song, and everything from ESPN? They're done. They parted ways.
Oh, that's fine.
See, I think it's terrible.
Why?
I think it's a disgrace.
Why?
What did he do? He made a dumb statement.
I know, but if you're ESPN, don't you have the right to part ways?
Well, yeah.
You're a private company.
But I think it's stupid. I think he's part of, an integral part of Monday Night Football. He's part of the fabric that is Monday Night Football.
No, I mean,
I like the song. I like the tradition of the song. I like all that.
Well, I feel the same way about that Gary Glitter song.
Me too.
I think fans love that song.
Let's not compare the two.
No.
One guy said a dumb thing. The other guy did a little boys.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
I mean, that's
right.
A major difference.
But I there's a huge difference.
Yeah.
But I also think it's a song. I'm not thinking about politics when I'm listening to a song.
No, that's true.
I just don't get it.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, way too sensitive.
Yeah.
Way too. They shouldn't have pulled him. And he clearly got his panties in a bunch that they pulled him over because he's big into First Amendment and I'm a Southern boy and a shotgun and
all
that.
Well, I mean, this is a guy who does have a song saying, you know, it would be better if the South won or something like that.
Yeah, I don't care about that because I think there's plenty of songs out there, the, you know, kill the police and
sure,
all this stuff. Music is an artistic form where people say and do things that aren't necessarily meant to be taken literally. But Michael Felger, the liberals of the world, say the man wanted the South to win. But, we would have the Supreme Court. They'd be hanging him high. We wouldn't have to worry about paying for labor.
You know what was really funny
He's
about
that? He's an idiot.
You know what was really funny about that? His whole rant on that was, don't blame the liberals for this. You know, this is in about, you know, blame Disney. Call Disney. Why do you think Disney is pulling him?
Right. Because of loudmouth liberals like you, you pompous
if
ass.
If no one, if
Jack
if,
and Ape.
If they put this guy out there and nobody complained,
right.
Do you think that Disney would just say, we don't really agree with his politics, we're going to take him off? No. They know what's going to happen. They know the backlash they're going to get.
Well, they got a business
gonna
to run.
Right. And they're going to lose attention and sponsors. And
right.
So liberals will complain.
Yeah.
Those are the people who complain about stuff like that.
Yeah, right.
To sit there and separate the two is foolishness. And as Andy says, from a liberal. Now, I don't care if you're liberal or conservative. Whatever you want to be is up to you. But don't claim it's not about that. It's just like right now, all this heat that Obama's taken. I tend to be more conservative. The conservatives are wrong. Shut up. Either be part of the solution or keep your mouth shut, just like they did to Bush for the last 8 years before that. You're not helping anything.
It's un-American.
There you go, Freddie. It's un-American.
What is?
I don't know.
He just made this blanket statement.
Not being part of the solution.
Oh, okay.
You know what that was like? We'll see.
Yeah. Yemi from Texas says, is it accurate that Lee Boden did not play last Sunday?
Yes.
Fred was skeptical about him in the summer, even insinuating that he would not be a starter. I guess he was right. Take a bow, Fred. Did you talk to somebody in the know?
Nope.
When can we call him a bust? Depending on how the rest of the season goes.
Can I call a quick timeout?
Yeah.
He was hurt.
All right.
Well, to be fair, he was not starting, too.
But you know that was because of injury.
I believe that to be the case, but if I were Fred, I'd be saying I was right.
But if you had to put your hand on a Bible,
but when I say that, you tell me that we have to trust the injury report.
He's hurt.
I know, but when I've said before, well, you know, even though he wasn't on the injury report, we know that he's kind of hurt.
He was on the injury report.
You tell me that I shouldn't say that, you know?
What?
No, you're totally backwards. He was on the injury report and didn't play due to injury.
He's been on the injury report every week with
every
a different injury.
With three different injuries in 4 weeks.
But he has played.
Yes, he didn't start.
Yeah.
One
and
game.
I was assuming that he's being monitored. That was my assumption, that he's kind
the
of
first,
limited.
You think?
Whatever. I have no idea.
Yeah.
In other words, he hasn't lost his job, which is what you claimed, that he wasn't going to be a starter.
Right.
Because of ability.
Right.
You it's, also it's claimed not, that they're just going to cover, and then they signed 22 pass rushers.
Depending on how the rest of the season goes, Boden may not be back next year. The Pats have been unlucky with free agents recently. Tully Bannacane and Boden so far have been busts.
Well, even worse, they've been unlucky re-signing their own free agents. James Sanders, Lee Boden, Tully Bannacane. They gave him way too much money for what they ended up being post-contract.
All right. Let's see.
Is this Fourier joking around with this group on ESPN?
Yeah.
When did he get that gig?
When he stopped doing Paul and Fred's, I mean, Andy
he
and Fred's.
He still does your thing.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, they have him, like, he sets it up, and then they go to us.
And then he gives the...
talking about all
and
access.
And he declares the winner.
It up like he used to?
He declares a winner. You didn't know that?
No. Do I win?
The last one I saw, Fred won.
And
then,
was it?
There was one that he did that he said that you were both wrong.
See, that's what he does.
I liked that one.
It's funny, the All Access people came in and they said, Comcast people came in and they said, All Access is using the same shot we use. And were you there? And I said, yeah, exactly the same. And they kind of rolled their eyes as if they were stealing it.
Right.
You know?
We own this viewpoint right here. No one can ever do anything here.
Joel and Merrimack, hey guys, great show as always. Now, Andy,
Uh-oh. You
are not a fraud. You are just an adolescent trapped in a grown-up body. You know, if you were just another Paul, think of how boring this show would be. In fact, if Fred were just another Paul, the show would be a real snoozer. Mind you, it's not that Paul is boring, at least as long as he's surrounded by people who are not condescending contrarians. The three of you are different enough to keep the show interesting. Anyway, on to football. did you guys hear when Rex said he has to go back to the ground and pound game? Do you believe him, or was he being disingenuous? Because I think if he does that, it will play right into the Patriots' hands. Keep up the great show.
Well, we talked about this going back to last year. I still think they're torn as to what they're going to be. You have these great passing weapons, and you took a quarterback with the 6th pick in the draft, but you still believe in ground and pound.
Right. I think he's BSing everybody.
I don't know.
How would you not pass against the Patriots? I mean...
Well, that's a good question.
You look at the Patriots, and look,
I think
as much as a homer
true,
as I
though.
Am, that's their flaw. They can't cover.
Yeah, I think both of those things are true, though. I think the email is right in that... That would play right into the Patriots' hands if they want to just ground
yes.
and pound.
Oh, for this week.
For this week, but I think
oh,
that
I
Rex,
thought it was more of a general.
No, for this
that's
week,
what I think
the
too.
The spine of my team is what?
Yeah, that's
ground
fine,
and pound. And
yeah.
I think and I think Rex wants to get back to that. That's why I say I think both things are right.
Right.
You might not see it this week because I think it would be foolish to sit there and pound yeah. away, especially if Haynesworth comes back, pound away at the inside of that line. It's dumb.
If Mark Sanchez doesn't throw for 300 yards, they won't win. He has to throw for 300 yards for them to win.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Jay in Worcester has a beef with Andy, doesn't everybody? What's up, Jay?
Fred, I love you. I love Eric. I even like Perillo. But Andy keeps talking about this first-round impact guy. The last time Andy was with a guy making an impact, it was in his ass. Baba Booey.
Whoa!
He gave you a Baba Booey, too. Did you catch that
one? That's fine. Yeah, but, we like Baba Booey.
I thought it was going to be an actual comment.
Oh, I like that. That was good.
And
last
Eric's
time I was making an impact, it was in your mom's ass!
And Eric's happy because he wasn't the butt of that joke.
No, he wasn't happy. He likes to be the butt of everything.
Oh, jeez. All right. Let's see. It's 1:36.
Where is Eric?
Thursday,
we got to do picks.
So that means we have to get ready to do the picks. So, Kevin, I need to catch my breath. Why don't we take a break? We'll be right back.
Honey, ready to go curtain shopping?
Absolutely. There's nothing more I'd rather be doing on Patriots game day than helping make home drapery decisions.
Now with NFL Mobile on your phone, you can enjoy going just about anywhere this football season. Watch live games on Thursday and Sunday nights all right from the palm of your hand.
So what do you think of these lilac-colored valances?
Pat's interception, yes! Sure, those will hang nicely next to the wall. It'll just light up the room.
We should shop more often.
Oh, you bet. Anytime. He's at the 50, the 40!
NFL Mobile, only from Verizon. Your gateway to live NFL games and more.
The 30, the 20, the 10! Booyah! Touchdown, Patriots!
Shh, you're frightening the seamstress.
Oh, that tieback is so money.
Text NFL to 8915 to download NFL Mobile today. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
If you didn't know, AutoTrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten you. First stop, his heart. Oh, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at AutoTrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
I don't think I can put that on paper.
How do you transcribe that?
Ah!
Any more in depth?
Ah!
Is that how you feel when you wake up in the morning?
Ah! Well, I feel pretty good. I'm just trying to get healthy, take it day by day.
That was Aaron Hernandez today in the locker room.
Fred forgot to turn his mic on.
Turn it back on, Fred. Well, no one would have known that unless you had opened your big mouth.
That's why I was going to let it go, Fred.
No, you weren't.
I was.
Eric's here in a burgundy V-neck. Now that the
Eric forgot to turn his mic on.
No, I didn't.
No, he
didn't.
Forgot to turn it on.
Now that the autumn leaves are falling in New England.
That's right.
It's time to give an Eric sweater update.
It is a perfect autumn day out today.
Is it?
Fall
day,
too. Absolutely gorgeous. I never use autumn. I said it to, I think I mouthed it to Paul yesterday.
I just never used the word.
Yesterday?
Settle down.
Eric,
oh, you missed the call we just had. I got a, what was the?
You got Baba Booey'd.
The last time I was hammering something home, it was a butt or something.
Making an impact.
Making an impact. It was in a guy's butt or so. Oh, Baba Booey, and the guy hung up.
We got a crank called. We got a Baba Booey.
We got a crank called.
Howard Stern listener called us?
Yeah. I guess.
Wow. That means we're getting big, right?
Yeah. That's a compliment.
Don't they only do that to people?
Yeah.
Yeah, like the vice president, when she's running for vice president. Those guys from Canada.
This is a bit of a
that was the worst one.
I want to go hunting and shoot something with you.
Yeah.
Starting in January, we're going to lay more pipe.
Anytime Howard Stern wants to mention this show.
We're going
to
do more lines.
In any vein, go ahead.
That would be, we should get him to mention it. He's got enough connections with the crafts. If you guys want to listen to a show that's kind of like mine, but is also football centric, go to patriots.com.
Sometimes.
In progress.
We have Robin Givens. We have, you know,
I'd be Artie Lang.
I pointed at Eric.
I'd be Artie Lang.
He just drinks to get drunk. He gets high to get
high. It's Robin Quivers, first of all.
Oh, that's right.
What do you call him? Robin Givens. Mike Tyson's ex-wife.
Oh, okay.
Who am I? You're Howard Stern, clearly.
Some big news at practice today.
Oh, let's hear it.
We're going to talk football.
92?
Hernandez was back.
Okay.
Haynesworth back. Mike Wright back.
Whoa!
Mike Wright being back is a surprise to me. The other two, good for him.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that if he's back, the doctors are absolutely confident that he can be on the field.
Yes, they are. I am happy for that.
I'm very happy for him.
I'm also very scared for him.
I'm just stunned because, yeah, he's had a unfortunate history with this thing in the last year or so. And I just hope they're doing the right thing for him.
Sure.
Hernandez, we talked about with that knee brace goes on today. I would have been all in that he'd be out there at practice.
But Haynesworth is out there.
Haynesworth was out there,
right?
He was out there one day last week, so let's not get too excited.
No, but
he plays this week.
But he came back this week. Last week he started and then he tailed out.
So we'll see tomorrow. So,
yeah, I was going to say, we still got Friday.
We do, but, you know, today was a full pads day.
Full pads.
So full pads, and these guys returning, that's kind of good news.
Yeah.
Well, very good
How
news.
About Woody? Was he anywhere to be seen?
No Woody, no Edelman.
Okay.
No Vollmer, and no Mayo, obviously.
Right. Okay. Well, that's interesting.
But it's good news. You had seven guys yesterday, and you got four of them back?
You got three of them back.
Yeah. So that's good. What else, Eric?
A little bit of a sloppy start right after stretching. You know, they break up into position groups. And then, you know, like in pregame, the quarterbacks just throw, there's like a wide receiver line, and they just go down the line. The quarterbacks just lob passes. It's an easy warm-up to get started. A couple of sloppy passes, drop balls. Bill O'Brien
not happy.
Had to cuss them out.
Not happy.
There, it's, you know, it's Jets week.
Sure.
It's serious. It's a rivalry week game.
And you said,
and you know.
What was the weather like today?
Absolutely perfect.
Well, what does that mean?
I mean, it was sunny. It was crisp, probably, you know, 60 degrees, 60. A little bit of a breeze.
Nip in the air.
Yeah.
What's the forecast for Sunday? Anyone know?
Hot and summery.
Oh,
80 degrees. 80.
Could get it to the 80s on Sunday.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Which team does that benefit? I feel like you're always supposed to ask that question.
Can we just stop with that? It always benefits the Patriots. The weather, no matter what it is, always benefits
Patriots. That's a good point.
Never again will I say that the weather will keep the score down.
It benefits the better team, the weather.
Any weather.
Any weather. Right?
Not really.
Not necessarily, because the
better
team. I think
it's another example of how good the Patriots are.
The better team.
The weather is a neutralizer, generally.
Yeah.
But the Patriots don't allow it to be.
Right. The better team could be better in perfect weather, and they could, you know, be terrible in bad weather. But this isn't the case with this team.
I feel like Fred was getting confused in that sense.
I bet he was giving you that look. I bet you didn't know you could get that much information about the weather.
All right. No, we're not going to do that.
No,
we're going to
do picks.
So
we gotta hurry.
Freddy,
what happened?
You
last
continue
week?
To separate yourself from the pack
inexplicably,
proving yet again that you don't need to know anything about football to bet on football.
As Paul predicted this morning in the office, how this conversation would go.
This is me, you know, accepting giving congratulations.
Oh, I thought you were giving your queen victorious.
Kind of like that.
I was worried you were going down the Hank Williams Jr. route and making a. gesture in that way.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my goodness.
We have to pull you off of PFW in progress.
So what do you got?
You see he's out, Eric?
Yeah, I
completely
told you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
13-3,
stupid.
Freddie, last week.
13-3.
Followed by Andy and I at 12-4, Eric 11-5.
Good week for everybody.
Yes, it was a good
week. It doesn't
feel
so good when everybody's right nipping at your heels.
With the spread.
Freddie,
10-6.
Ooh, that's a good week, right?
Paul, 9-7.
That's a good week.
Andy and Eric, 8-8.
Okay.
So it was a good week all around.
I didn't lose my home this week.
For the season, Fred, 46-18. Paul and Eric, 45-19. Andy, 42-22. With a spread, Fred is the only one above 500 still. 33-28-3. Eric and I are 28-33-3, and Andy is 26-35-3. Look at the look on his face.
He's like, I don't want to play anymore.
Can we stop doing this?
I want to do over.
This is stupid. I don't think we should do it.
Yeah, right. In the old video game days, I'm pressing the reset button.
Right.
You remember when you used to flick it, so like maybe sometimes the cord would hit the reset? Yes. Oh, I didn't mean to do that.
Especially when you're in a season of something and it's saving all your stats.
All right, so let's go to this week. Let's start with the 1 o'clock games,
don't forget, Freddie, three fewer games this week because of the bye week.
Right,
I'm surprised you haven't announced the teams that are on the bye.
Eric loves this time of year.
We still have to hurry. Philadelphia at Buffalo. Buffalo coming off a big loss.
The Eagles struggling at 1-3.
I don't care
and they're about the Eagles favored on the road by 2.5.
I think this is an interesting game because it's two teams you don't expect. You don't expect the Eagles to be this
bad and
you
the
don't
Bills to be that
the Bills
good.
Be this good.
I see what you're saying.
I think this is going to be an equilibrium game where it all starts to level into where it should be.
I think it's going
to
be a dizzying game.
Eagles come in and blow out the Bills.
Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Bills are going to
That's true
continue
by the records.
The nightmare for the dream team in Philadelphia.
No,
Bills
the dream team's dead, Vic said.
Bills win by 3.
Yeah, I think the Eagles win this game. They have to bounce back and you can't wait around too much longer. 1-4 might be too big of a hole.
Yep.
They find a way to get this one.
I agree with Paul. Philadelphia wins this game. Next is New Orleans going to Carolina to take on the real Cam Newton.
The Saints by 6.
Saints will win and cover. They're the better team, but I bet you Cam Newton will put up some plays yet again because I don't think the Saints' defense is great, and obviously Cam Newton puts up a lot of yards.
It'll be close for a while, but I think the Saints pull away and win by a comfortable margin.
Don't talk with your mouth full.
I'll take the Saints as well. It'll be interesting to see all those blitzes that Greg Williams does and how Newton, does he slip out and run, you know, on some of those blitzes, which is he's had success with in the first month. But I do think the Saints will win.
This is my upset of the week. Carolina beats the Saints at home.
Well, hello.
It's nice of you to allow us the opportunity
Oakland
to get back in.
At Houston. Oakland at Houston.
Houston by 6.
It's an interesting game. I'll take Houston to win and cover, but I think it's going to be a tight one. I think they're going to squeak it out. It might be a 7-point victory. They might need a touchdown in the end of the game. I think this will be a dogfight.
I think Houston wins as well, but give me the points. For some reason, I'm not convinced yet that the Texans are that good a team that they're able to separate themselves from teams who they should beat pretty handily. So I'm gonna do that.
Paul, I think Houston is much, much better than Oakland. I worry that without Andre Johnson, I'm not sure they're going to be able to show that. But I'm going to take the Texans anyway. I think Oakland stinks.
Now that the Patriots have given the league the blueprint on the Raiders, I will take the Houston Texans and the points. Kansas City at Indy.
Colts by 2.5.
That's a bad game.
Sure is.
I'll take the home team because they're home.
I will take the road team because they're just slightly better than the home team.
I am going to take Indy, and I like the way they've played the last couple of weeks. Even though they know it's over and they're getting beaten up, they've played hard. They've had opportunities to win the games. So I think they'll break through and win this one.
Yeah,
it's a bad team.
I don't know if Curtis Painter's starting or not. They haven't really announced that yet, but I agree with Paul. I think
if he's not starting, I would wish I could change my pick, but it doesn't work like
but
that.
But I think Indy has played spirited, particularly on defense.
Who's their next quarterback in line?
Well, I assume Collins
will
play.
Back to Collins.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with Indy as well.
My
Foster Brooks. You know who Foster Brooks is, Andy? He has no idea.
Never heard that name in my life.
Yes, you did, because at the Combine, when we interviewed Brooks Foster, he said, people always confuse me with Foster Brooks, so you're lying.
Liar!
And he didn't know
Liar.
Who it was.
and it didn't register.
Cincinnati at Jacksonville. Cincinnati at Jacksonville.
A little surprised by the spread in this one, Andy. Jacksonville by 2.5.
Ooh.
I'll take the points because I think Jacksonville stinks. Blaine Gabbert going through the growth period here. And Cincinnati won a game, right, last week?
2-2?
Yeah, they beat the Bills. Came back. Take them. Yeah. I hate Andy Dalton, but whatever. He's going to win, I guess.
Yeah, I think Cincinnati has a little bit more talent than the Jaguars at this point, so that's why I'm going to take the Bengals.
A lot of Jags in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the whole team, actually.
Dangerous taking a road team like the Bengals, but I'm going to do it. I think they're a better team. I don't get it, but Jacksonville doesn't show me anything.
Me too. Cincinnati all the way. Arizona at Minnesota.
The Otterbox just worked.
Arizona at Minnesota.
I dropped my phone.
Arizona at Minnesota. The Vikings by 2.5.
Two and a half.
The Vikings are favored?
That's correct.
What are they thinking?
I will take Arizona. I mean, I think both teams aren't very good, but I think the Vikings.
Yeah, what do they combine for one win?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I have no confidence in the Vikings. I will never pick them.
Cardinals should have won last week.
I'll take the Cardinals.
Cardinals got screwed last week. Yeah, they're going to go on the road and beat a bad Vikings team. I'll take the Cardinals.
I mean, just throw the ball to Larry Fitzgerald.
I don't know. I'll take Minnesota. Don't really have any reason why. I'll just take the home team.
It's a bad year to have a
stink.
A stink for Minnesota. They're trying to get that stadium. Held up
a bad
little.
Year to be bad.
I'm going to go with Arizona as well. Seattle.
It's like when they always say it's a good year to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Aren't they all good years to win the Super Bowl?
Seattle at the Giants.
Giants by 10.
Should be 20.
I will take the Giants to win, but not cover. I don't have a lot of confidence in the New York football Giants, and that's a decently sized number.
I don't like the Giants either, but Seattle. Something tells me Seattle cross. It's in New York,
last
right?
Week?
It's in New York.
30-28.
Giants or Seattle?
Yeah, the Giants.
Seattle against
Seattle.
Atlanta.
Yeah, well, you know, let's pump the brakes on the should have. I mean, a guy had a brain cramp and left the ball on the ground, but they were going in to score if he didn't do that, right?
Maybe.
I mean, they got a break with a terrible official decision.
Maybe.
But, you know, it wasn't like Arizona should have stopped them.
Are you guys going to fight
anyway?
Yeah, I want to fight right now.
Like that.
Right now.
Like that.
Yeah.
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 I'll take the
that
Giants.
That sounds really gay when they do that. It sounds like they're having gay. Yeah, yeah, gay sex.
Giants right. In Seattle. Well,
I'd like to make my pick, but Andy can't stop talking. I'll take the Giants both ways, please.
I'm sure you will.
I'll take the Giants, and I'll lay the points.
I thought we weren't doing those anymore.
says the guy who usually leads the charge doing those.
Yeah. I'll take
the
Giants.
Who are you doing?
I'll take the Giants as well. Tennessee at Pittsburgh. This is the final 1 o'clock game.
Oh, thanks for informing us. 3.5.
Don't forget, we have to skip over that 4:15 game.
Now he's planning on playing with a different cleat. I just saw Roethlisberger in a boot.
I'm tired of his injuries.
A boot.
He's gotten into Steve McNair territory when it comes to injuries.
Yeah, Bobby Humphries,
the boy who cried wolf,
murdered
kind of
on
thing.
His couch.
Remember Bobby Humphries from the Chargers? Every game he'd come out and then he.
Who are you talking about?
Roethlisberger.
Stan Humphries?
Stan Humphries?
Stan Humphries,
the quarterback?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Bobby Humphries, the running back.
No, Stan Humphries.
No, you're probably talking Bobby because you were a Broncos fan.
No, I'm talking about Stan.
Almighty.
Stan Humphries.
Hurry up. Lord. It's the last 1 o'clock game. We're going to move it along. He's already laughing.
Who are they playing?
Tennessee is at Pittsburgh.
That was when I really did screw up.
I know you did. That's why I called you on it.
Is he going to play?
I don't know. I assumed he was.
Well,
hey,
well,
rookie.
Well, Mendenhall isn't. So if Mendenhall doesn't play and he doesn't play, then
it's
I'm taking the
Mendenhall.
Titans. Hammy, I believe.
Bruised?
Hammy?
No, you know.
Ego?
Yeah,
I know what you mean, Paul.
I will take the Steelers. What? And Harrison's not playing? Who plays for the Steelers
Harrison's
these days?
Definitely out.
Yeah, he's out for like six weeks.
Hard to play with an orbital fracture.
Yeah, wuss.
Three and a half. Steelers by 3.5.
I'll take the Titans, but I don't feel good about it. Too many injuries for the Steelers.
Yeah, but you know what? Something tells me the Steelers are going to pull through. I don't know why, but the Titans have been playing a little over their heads, I think, and I think they come a little bit back down to earth, so I'll take the Steelers.
Yeah, I'll take the Steelers, too.
Yeah, me too. Last stand for the Steelers, though. They're not going to have a good season. All right, now we go to 4:05, Tampa Bay at San Francisco.
The surprising Niners, favored by 3, Andy.
Yeah.
2-3-1 teams.
Tampa Bay at San Francisco.
I will take Tampa Bay to win. I think they're the better all-around team, although you certainly have to give Harbaugh credit for winning games there.
I still am not a believer in the Bucs, and especially with a coastal trip they have to make, I'm going to take the 49ers.
I am a believer in the 49ers defense, and I think that they will win this game behind the defense, as they normally do when they do find a way to win. Their yep. offense is still struggling, but their defense is legit.
I will go with the 49ers as
Corey?
Well. So
he plays in Seattle. Yeah, Seattle. And before anybody, I know he doesn't play in Seattle. I know he's on San Diego, everybody. San Diego at Denver, is that what you said, Freddie?
That's what I was supposed to say. San Diego at Denver, 4:15.
Denver is getting 4 at home.
I'll take San Diego to win and cover on the road.
Superchargers, that's right. Win and cover.
San Diego
has not been overly impressive this season, but I will take them because I think Denver stinks.
Yeah, me too.
Although God probably wants the Broncos to win with Tim Tebow on the
All right, we're going to skip over.
Don't mock the man's religion.
It wouldn't take us so long to get through these games if you didn't announce what time they all started.
We're going to skip over the Jets at New England, 4:15, and go to Sunday night, 8:20, Green Bay at Atlanta.
Green Bay by 5.5.
Yeah.
At Atlanta.
They're
That's
win
a big
by
number.
They're going to win by more than that.
No, they're not.
Because they're a much better football team.
They might be, but you know what? They're not going to go 16-0, and this is a game that they're going to lose.
Oh, we'll look at
the
Eric
Falcons in the
protecting
upset.
His precious little record. Ooh, I'm Pat Patriot fan, Eric.
I'm going to take Green Bay, but I agree. This is a spot, I think, for Atlanta. I think that's a good upset pick. I'm going to take Green Bay, but they're not going to go undefeated, and Atlanta's got to put a lot into this after the beating they took in that playoff game last year in Atlanta, but I can't do. I just don't think Atlanta's very good. I'll take
the
Packers.
Green Bay too. They're the team to beat in the NFL. Chicago at Detroit Monday night 8:30.
Detroit by 6.
Ooh.
Detroit by 6.
That's what I said, isn't it?
Just checking.
That's. I am going to take Detroit to win at home. I think that place will be rocking.
Yes.
Home Monday night football.
That's
the team
correct
is
answer.
Winning. Ndamukong Suh, Calvin Johnson's uncoverable right now. So just keep throwing it up to him in triple coverage. It worked for an entire season for Tom Brady. It'll work for you too, Matthew Stafford.
Yep, Andy is correct. The Lions, they're not going to go undefeated either, but they are going to go 5-0. That'd
be a great story.
They're going to go 5-0.
Green Bay and Detroit went undefeated, wouldn't that be unbelievable?
No, I was just thinking if Detroit went undefeated 3 years after going winless.
Yep.
Jim Schwartz will go down as the greatest coach in history.
Lions win by 10 to 14 points, Paul.
Bill would probably take the
credit. I like the Lions again, but I am going to take the points with Chicago.
I am too. It's going to be a tight game, intra-division.
Hey, looking
yes,
way
good
ahead.
Use of the word intra, not intra.
Notice he had to emphasize it for his own to make sure.
He's thinking is intra.
Looking way ahead, though, Detroit, Green Bay on Thanksgiving. Oh. They always seem to play on
Imagine
Thanksgiving like every other year.
Undefeated.
They finally have one that figures to be a really, really good game.
Okay, so now we go
Which game
back.
Is that? Is that the early or the late?
It's always, the early.
Now we go back in time to Sunday at 4:15. The Jets coming to Gillette Stadium for a big intra
9.5
game.
9.5?
9.5.
I will take the New England Patriots, the home team, to win. The Jets, to me, are not doing anything all that well right now. I think the Patriots will stop the running game quite easily. There'll be no ground. And I think they will do their best effort to pound Mark Sanchez. They won't do it. They won't shut him down. He'll throw for 300 yards, but he'll make a mistake or two. And Tom Brady will not, because Tom Brady will want to prove that a-holes win when they go against corners of the ilk of Antonio Cromartie.
I don't like this game at all.
So you're taking the Patriots?
Win and cover.
I don't like this game because the Jets have lost 2 in a row, because this will be their third road game. I feel like they're a scared animal in back
Rabbit.
Into a corner.
You got to shoot him.
I don't like it. I do think the Patriots will win by a low-scoring margin.
Low-scoring game?
Maybe 6 points or less, and it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think
really?
It won't even crack 30. It'll be in the 20s.
Oh.
John, don't do
like
anything
that.
Really private, because you know I can see everything over here, right?
Right now, he's emailing.
Well, he went to a Facebook page, and
he's
I don't
emailing
know
his friends. You believe I got to share a studio with these idiots?
What's that game, what's that game called, brother? Donkey Schlong?
Thanks,
I share the sentiments of Eric. I believe the Patriots will win the game.
Nice glasses, John.
And I'm going to pick the Jets to cover. And the reason I think it's going to be a little bit lower scoring is I think you're going to see the Patriots run the football. And that takes a little bit longer to create the scoring drives that normally they do so quickly and efficiently. 28-24, Patriots.
Patriots win and cover in this game. And but
is that Homer Fred talking there?
No, but at the end of the game, you know, it's
is
one
there
of those
another kind.
It's one of those late cover games. So it's
close
not,
throughout, yeah, and then they pull ahead. Yeah, okay.
All right. So that's it for our show. John is standing by. How was yesterday's show?
159. We've never done that.
He's great as always, as you would imagine. You know,
even when not listening to you, I'm sure he was tweeting while talking.
Probably.
No,
actually, he was
by name at the end, so either he wrote it down or he has a good memory.
So he has this down first name basis.
And who do you
Adam Schefter said your name before Bill Belichick did? Ever?
Wow. Yes. Yes.
You talked to him on the phone once.
You've been to Bill did say my name once when we were, you know, face to face, one on one, but not in front of anybody.
Who's up today?
Roderick Boone, New York Newsday, is going to lead us off, and then Russell Baxter in hour number two.
Okay, quite a Boone and for your show. Pete Shepard at 4 o'clock with Brian Lowe in the Fantasy Lowdown.
Fantasy Slowdown.
We'll see you next Tuesday, but don't forget the pregame social, 2 o'clock Eastern time on game day. Be there.
Yeah.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.